Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Ian Bagg, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of totally topical Tebow trivia time today. And now, technically, he also got screwed by Harvey Weinstein. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love to come out and do the live shows and see the fathers and daughters and sons and dads and brothers and sisters, everyone turning their friends on to the show, and I love that story. Thank you very much. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Yes.
Ian Bagg.
Ian Bagg. And I hope he brings his brother Duke with him this year.
Yes.
He's a good young kid, Canadian. You guys know Duke Bagman?
Duke Bagg?
Yeah.
No.
Good guy.
No.
Good guy.
I'd like to get to know him better.
You shall. Hope he's in tow. All right. Have thoughts. Couple of thoughts. You guys tell me. I was doing an interview, and always talking, you know, oh, what are you and Dennis Prager doing together? You guys are so different. You're so different. He's so religious, and you're so atheist, and he's so East Coast, and you're so West Coast, and all the different differences.
Code for Jewish.
Yeah.
And
he's so nebbish. He likes bland food.
He's nudgy, and he's a nudge.
He's on a low-salt diet.
So I said to the guy, we both have common sense, and that's what we have in common. And that's actually stronger than any other combination of things that we're constantly looking for. Like, we're constantly going, well, that guy's black, or that guy's Hispanic, or those women need to stick together. You know, it's like, you know how many fighters went with Don King because he's black? Yeah. Like, they didn't want to go with the Jewish guy because, hey, I want the guy who looks like me. He understands where I'm from. Don King has screwed over more human beings than any person on the planet. I mean, probably to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars he's taken from guys that are getting their brains bashed over. But they went with him because he looks like him. That's not a
bad
good
math.
Strategy for picking, whether it's Don King or Maxine Waters. The, hey, that person looks like me. They're relying on that. That's not going to work. And this notion of like, well, we pray to the same God, or we have the same high school or college football team, or our wives are blonde, or whatever it is. Common sense in common is actually a stronger thing. Dennis Prager has a very strong sense of sort of common sense. I have a strong sense of common sense, and we like that about each other.
Right.
And then all the other stuff. His favorite sports are baseball and hockey. My favorite sport is football. He's no interest in football. It's all falls by the wayside when you have common sense in common. And I
thought his favorite sports were Talmudic study and orchestra conducting.
Competitive.
Yeah.
That
sudden
is
sudden death.
That as well. But yet the common sense part, and I realize there's that with my friend Kevin Hench, we're not politically on the same page at all. We have a both strong sense of common sense, and we really enjoy that in each other. And I start thinking that is really something that's, you know, common sense is it's completely out the window now. It's just everyone's picking up a team and then they're just picking people who look like them to get on the team with them. And there should be a sort of common sense movement or party or something.
And party be great.
I was
a common sense candidate. Someone would win that platform. I'm the common sense candidate.
I'll tell you, if there physically was a party, there'd be no veggie lover's pizza.
Right.
Because common sense people would know that a plain cheese pizza is a vegetarian pizza. And since nobody wants a bunch of bell pepper bleeding out on top of their on top of their cheese pizza, there would be no veggie subs.
The common sense party.
It's called a grilled cheese.
Yep. Everything is finger foods and handheld and dips because you don't want forks and knives and plates.
You're taking it to a new level.
Yeah. No, everything's kegs. There's no bottles of beer because bottles are heavy and the glass breaks. It's all
clean up. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
The common sense party. I'd like to go.
Common sense party. Okay. These strippers all have change belts so they can break a 20 because they know they'll get more money. Yep. You'll actually say, but don't you want the 20? You'll get less people giving any at all it's only 20. If we can give ones and fives, you'll end up making more big picture. The common sense part.
Common sense part.
All right. So now speaking of common sense, you guys tell me, I'm constantly trying to weed through life and sort out like what are successful traits, what are not. I look no further than my own family and my buddy Ray and all that kind of stuff.
We got not covered.
For which one?
For the not.
Okay.
And I've distilled it down to it's all sort of in the answer or the response. Like when you say this, what is the response? What is the answer? Basically the response you get from the guys who are at the very low end of the spectrum or the exact same traits you get from 7-year-olds is when you say to Ray, who's 54 years of age, somewhere around the third time he calls one of the callers on Ace on the House, dude, when I said to him, since when do you start saying dude so much? And he fires back, you say it all the time.
No.
That is a bus ride to failure.
Dude.
That is, first off, I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. Gary was there. Gary, you're going to get sucked into this fray too as well, sadly, but not in a horribly negative way, just an interesting way. It'll probably be an opportunity for learning.
Interesting.
An interesting way.
Got it.
Okay, but don't worry. You're toward the top of the spectrum of the...
Happy to be on the spectrum.
The folks. Okay. So Ray fires back with, you say dude all the time, which is, it's like you're on the schoolyard and someone calls you fat and you just go, you're fat.
You're fat.
That's it. That was Ray. Gary, do you ever hear me use the word dude and unless it's an ironic way making fun of Ray?
Nope.
Does Ray think that? Ray sits next to me for a million hours of podcasting. Does he think he hears the word dude?
No.
No.
Asking Gary to examine the mind of Ray.
He's in reflexive, non-improvement, FU mode.
It's a knee-jerk reaction. You poked him and he...
Right. Defensive and lying.
Now, this is why he's 54 and lives in an apartment in North Hollywood, because everything that comes his way, it's like the half circle with the loop in it, and you throw the ball and it goes right through the chute and comes flying, whips around, gains a little velocity, hits you in the forehead.
It's a pitchback.
Right. Now, he should be absorbing this, like, hey, I'm a 54-year-old guy. Why am I saying dude so much? Just like when the young Jimmy Kimmel told me I was saying terrific or whatever, amazing awesome. Or awesome on the radio too much. I went, is that true? And he went, yeah. And I sort of like made a note not to say it so much. Yeah. It felt...
You ingested it.
I didn't want to discuss it again with him.
You synthesized it.
Yes. I wanted to be better on the radio, and I didn't go, hey, douche, you say awesome all the time.
You said, hey, dude.
You just said awesome. You said, when you said, I say awesome too much, you said awesome.
Wait a second.
You're awesomely dumb.
So that's Ray, and Ray will take that to his grave, and there'll never be any element of success to him, and that'll be that. And even though I've said these words to him, that doesn't matter either, because he's in this mode when you're telling him that. You understand? Yeah. He doesn't have a switch where you go, I'm not critiquing you for saying, dude, let's sit down and talk about improving your lot in life. He doesn't have a mode where he absorbed that either.
No mirror.
Right. And he's got my dad as a therapist, so it's never going to work. Then you move to the middle ground. So that's lost. If your kid is that way, your kid is lost. Yeah. Your kid will never learn anything. He'll never really be employable. He'll be just employable enough, but never. They'll have no success.
Won't thrive.
Right. All right. So that's processing information / critiques 101, mm-hmm. raised at the K through second grade level, even though he's age 54, and that's where he's at there. Okay. Now, you go to the next step up, and that's Rob over at the other shop.
Are we talking like middle school?
Look, I'd say, you know, I'd say sixth grade, but Sonny's past these two phases. Okay. That
Damn
phase...
It, Gina.
That,
just trying to make sense. Isn't this scary?
Well, you're putting numbers on it. We're going to get to Gina.
You're in the adult. You are in the adult world.
But you're taking an AP class, son.
No, you're an adult. You're an adult, but sadly, there's many adults like you.
Right.
Or sadly, you're like many adults, and it doesn't serve them well. But I'm interested. I want to. I think it'll be good if you can be honest and we can be honest. I think we can get somewhere.
But Rob.
Rob is seventh grade, and now I'll give you an example. Again, it's all in the answers in terms of never. You have to correct something. You want to correct something. I want to stop saying awesome. So Jimmy tells me to stop saying awesome, and I think about him having this conversation with me again, and I dread it.
No good.
And I also realize if he's hearing this, what's everyone else hearing when they're stuck in traffic in their cars? Are they hearing me say awesome all the time? Right. So I'd like to stop. So I feel a little bit of shame. And then I feel a little embarrassment, and then I feel like this has to end. Dude. Best way for this to go away, dude, is for me to stop. Dude. Okay. Now, what I don't want to get to the point, I don't want two things to happen. I don't want to keep saying awesome, dude. And I don't want to get to the place where I'm at with many people in my life, which is I don't care anymore. I don't want Jimmy to go, you know, just
not worth it.
Go ruin your own radio show. I'm going to go get rich over here hosting the Oscars. I don't want that guy to check out. I don't want him to go, lost cause, moving on.
Unfixable.
Can't be taught.
Every time I come to you with something that's a suggestion, I don't want it to turn into an argument and walk away that way. So
Or think of an exception. Like, well, I don't always do it. Reason I do it is like, blah, blah, blah.
So
either way.
I don't want him to look at me as a lost cause, as I look at many folks in my life. And in the past, too, who I don't speak to anymore. All right. So, mid-level, Rob. Rob is a good guy, works hard, but he has an answer at the tip of his tongue, and it's not the right answer. And it's also a little nonsensical. We might need Matt Fondelier to enter the booth for this. But I'm talking about doing some electrical work at my house, switching the panel out, blah, blah, blah. And the consensus is it means the power's going to be out 2 days in a row for like 6 hours, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, just to you want to talk about a success story, look no further than Matt the Porcelain Punisher and the Seeker of Pleasure, Fondelier over here.
What a boss.
Who used to give insane answers to me like I did my best. When my shop was on fire.
That was many years ago.
Right.
I'm a changed man.
But he has gotten more in the habit of, in the window of negligence. He got more in the habit of going, right, we'll fix it, or next time, or not going to happen again, or whatever. It's a better life, I do believe. And it streamlines things.
Absolutely.
All right, so you were present with Rob, who I like, and who's a good worker, dude. But we're talking about answers that don't benefit the giver of the answer in terms of getting themselves along in life or having anything resolved or getting rid of a habit that maybe they shouldn't have. Supposed to take the panel down. Electrician was coming. Power out 2 days. Blah, blah, blah. I, because I'm thoughtful, said, well, Lynette's going to New York on Wednesday, so why don't we do it when she's out of town? It'd be less stress on her. I'm usually gone all day anyway. The kids are at school, but maybe Lynette's home, so do it when she leaves for New York. So we put it on the calendar for New York.
Sounds good.
Right. Then Sonny takes a header on the bike, then he seems okay. Then Lynette goes to New York. Then there's a skull fracture and some bleeding, and then he's checked into the hospital, and then Lynette's a ball of tears, and Lynette has to hop red eye and head back to L.A.
Yeah.
I am then heading to Minneapolis on Friday morning, and things get jumbled around pretty good. Rob thoughtfully cancels the electrician because he does not want the power now out while Lynette's back in L.A. and Sonny's recuperating.
Makes sense.
Thoughtful. But he does not share that information with me, even though I see him every day, multiple times a day. And I'm left kind of wondering, where is that guy? Has he come by? Have I not been at home? Has electricity been on off while I was gone? And he did something. It's all outside the house. And I'm not sure if he's come by or not, but I'm thinking about it. And I'm kind of peeking out the window sometimes. Sure. I'm thinking about it. And then on Monday, I say, Rob, what's going on with the electrician? Is he coming? Has he come? Do we reschedule? What's happening? This is moments before Matt and I are leaving and Rob's in the other office. And I've seen him five times that day. He says, I canceled him because Lynette was coming home. I say, why didn't you tell me? He says, I'm telling you now. I was about to tell you. I said, Rob, we were leaving. We were walking out the door and I stopped and you were like in the other office. And he said, and I said, Rob, come in here and tell me about the electrician. And his answer was, again, I was going to tell you now. I said, I don't think you were going to tell me now because we're leaving and I brought it up.
It's a weird time to.
But even if you were going to tell me now, it's still too late because you said they were coming Wednesday of last week. Right. And you never told me any time last week or over the weekend, and I'm bringing it up to you on Monday, and you said for a third time, I'm telling you now. Not a path to success, somewhat nonsensical to me, totally moot since it's beyond when the person was coming.
This is classic window of negligence. Let me just throw it out there right now.
Right.
But I'll see your window of negligence and add, like, kind of, like, who do you think you're fooling?
And who are you talking to? Yeah. I'm leaving. We've been sitting at this table for an hour. You've been in the next room for an hour. You never said anything. And now we're leaving. And we could have left, but I stopped and asked you about the electrician. And you've decided to use this as an opportunity to explain to me. I was about to come dashing in and tell you. All right. It was a weird thing to revisit three times, right?
It was, and as you and I were leaving, you said something to me like, what were the odds that Rob was going to come in right now as we're walking out the door? Like, it could only happen because you asked him.
Bad angle to pursue. The exchange should have been, I canceled the electrician because Lynette's coming home and Sonny had the accident, and I would have said, thank you, that was thoughtful. Next time, make a note to tell me. So I'm not wondering where the guy is when I'm going out of town Friday morning. So I don't know if he's coming Friday or Saturday or Lynette's home or whatever. Just share it with me next time. And then remove this part where you keep insisting you're telling me now or about to tell me now. That doesn't make sense. Makes me think you're lying or something. And I don't know, but it's a bad stance. Okay. These things prevent people from getting better, because if you're saying, I'm telling you now, and then you walk into your office, your head held high, you completely drop the ball on this and you're calling it a tie.
Well, you've gained nothing from the exchange.
And you've gained
from
nothing.
From the experience, from the, you know, what went on.
You've gained nothing from the exchange. Okay. That's the bottom, the middle. Now we go to the first world with Gary. Dude. Gary's what you call, I'd say he's a skeptic by nature. He's one of these guys.
This is our Gary?
Our Gary. Okay. There's room for this. You know, the guy who says, look, there's going to be a lot of traffic on the streets. We should probably take the highway. And then the guy chimes in and goes, highway can get pretty bad around 6 o'clock. I think maybe we should take the street. There's that guy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that guy's legitimately helpful. Sometimes that's just a wiring.
Yeah. Throwing a wrench.
People, it's not even a wrench. It's just, when you say this, I say that.
Right.
You know, you say.
Have you considered this?
Many people are every comedian. Jimmy Kimmel's wired this
way. I'm very much that way.
You're that way. It's not a trait of a bad person. It's kind of a trait of a smart person.
I will say of myself, and I do recognize this in myself, and oftentimes it is a flaw because sometimes a conversation. It's often with Christy. We'll be going in one direction. I'll take the stance of, well, have you considered this? And it's like, I probably didn't need to throw that out there. I recognize that it is something that sometimes can be an unnecessary speed bump in the road.
But I think a lot of us do this.
That's what I was getting at.
Right.
I feel like it's a
but we
a
see
condition.
We see three or four potential outcomes, and we're skeptical enough to try and prepare for each of them.
All smart people are guilty of this to some degree because you have knowledge, right, and that then makes you want to share this, and you're not always wrong. Now, I'll give you a better example of this. So I got into this in the dressing room with AV Ed's lady friend after I walked off stage in Nashville. And you guys have had this a lot. I'm sure everyone's experienced it a lot. I have a lot. Kind of comes from hot chicks a little more often than schlubby dudes. But
Jenny, you know hot chicks.
Yeah.
I said...
I know plenty of them.
They said, do you know hot chicks?
I have some hot chicks, yeah. I'll bring them by.
Why don't you swing them by? Yeah,
I promise I do.
So stingy.
I know. Raises the group average.
They said, we're going to walk down to the barbecue place. It's 4 blocks from here. And then I said, good, I'm going to go sign some autographs. And after I sign my autographs, I am going to then, we'll me and Mike finish signing autographs and we'll come meet you at the barbecue joint. And she said, we had a car there. We had a parking space. She said, are you guys walking or are you going to drive? I said, well, 4 blocks. You guys are walking. We're walking. We're going to walk too. And she said, oh, you're going to walk? And we said, yeah, that's what we were told. Ed said to walk. Oh, you're not going to drive? I said, no, we got a parking spot here, and it's really crowded because you said they were having a homecoming for like the Black College or something here, and everyone's in town cruising and everything. And she's like, oh, yeah, you won't be able to drive. It's a madhouse. You won't be able to find a place to park, and you won't be able to drive. I said, so then we'll walk, right? Yeah, but it's a pretty good hike. I said, well, but you guys are walking. Yeah, we're going to walk. Okay, we're going to finish, and then we're going to walk. And she goes, yeah, you could Uber, but you couldn't get in with the Uber either. You're not going to make it in with the Uber.
Helpful.
Hold on a second.
We just have to breaking news. I'm sorry.
Spider about
right in your face.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
Thank you.
That's very visual, but it was 4.5 inches.
Happy
your face.
Halloween, giant, everybody.
Giant daddy long leg.
That was hanging, wow.
Just dropped down from the ceiling in slow motion.
Heavens.
You guys were
saying?
Looking at each other.
I know. Sorry. I didn't want
to. No, you're right.
It was hanging out there. It was a big deal, but then it started to move.
AF.
So, we went around like 7 times. Right. Like I just went, but we're going to walk. You guys are walking, right? We're walking.
Like,
you're
going to
walk, right? Yeah. We're going to walk, but it's not a closed walk. But I said, but wait a minute. We can't take a car, right? Like we don't want to drive your car. You won't get through. It's a madhouse. But then the Uber would be the same thing. Yeah. At a certain point, I kind of said, we're just talking about the same thing.
Like, why
are we arguing? I don't get what are we doing? I don't know
what
we're
this conversation.
Yes. Yeah, so I said, why are we having this conversation? I'm agreeing with you. And she never knew what. we were talking about later on this one, which I always enjoy too.
Oh my God, this is another one.
Yep.
Oh my God,
Jesus!
It's an infestation rat.
There it goes. Let's
get him.
I'm not getting it.
Brian, you get him. It's another huge daddy long leg.
Where are they coming from?
I don't know. Right. Why do we need them? We got to get a hawk in here or something.
A falconer.
All right. So
it's good pot.
Later on. We had this exchange at the barbecue joint, which is, she said like, oh, I know people in this town. So my uncle was a cop and blah, blah, blah. This is another crazy thing that people have.
Same girl?
Same girl.
Okay.
It's fine. Fine. And then about 20 minutes later, Mike August said, you would know your dad's a cop. And she went, huh? Oh. And he went, your dad's a cop, right? And she went, no. And he went, well, but isn't, wait, you said your dad, didn't you say your dad was a cop? You said your dad was a cop? No. Well, somebody's a cop, right? No.
Strange.
Well, wait a minute. I'm sitting next. I heard it too. You were talking about it. You said someone's like a family member cop? No. Mm. All right. Wait a minute. Your dad's not a cop? No. He's a baker.
No, crazy.
Oh. I thought you said someone's a cop? No. Oh. My uncle's a cop.
Oh,
yes.
God. No.
Okay. That, nope. But that's what you said.
No.
Yeah. I don't. It's like the time I went to the Hungarian place, and I said, do you have no kettle? Huh? No kettle. No. No kettle. It's like a little dumplings, like a little flour dumpling. They put the goulash and stuff over. No. Mm. Oh, because I read on your website that you guys had no kettle, and that's why I came down here. I thought I could get some no kettle. No. Huh. Well, it's on your website that you have no. Well, no. We have no kettle-y.
Oh, no.
Okay. The fifth time I say no kettle, please chime in with your pronunciation of it.
That's the hard line against, I don't know what you're talking about. Here's the thing. It's very similar to what you're talking about.
There's a lot of people that do that. They go, I have no, yes. And it's a weird gene.
Are they being, in that moment, are they having like, are they stroking out or are they trying to shame a stranger?
I don't know.
I think there's 11% chance of, like, the guy has the information, right? Maybe it's no kiddly, maybe it's something else. He has that knowledge, and he's hanging it, dangling over his head a tiny bit.
It's
right?
a very, I never think there's anything nefarious about it. I just wonder why so many people are wired that way. Now, I know people don't listen, and I know people, again, there's a lot of people in the mode that they are at the, you know, at the American Airlines Captain's Lodge or whatever. You pull out your first class ticket and they go, that's to Chicago, sir. We only honor ones that are transcontinental and going into New York, whatever. And you go, oh, perhaps I, and you start reaching for your wallet to get the black card. They're already shaking it off. Like there's a lot of people that like, I started shaking my head no when you asked if my dad was a cop, and I will not leave that
realm,
that mode. I'm saying no, I'm dismissing you now. And whatever you say back to me, it's now under the umbrella of dismissal.
People get on a no roll.
Yes.
They get on a no roll.
They get on a no roll.
Customer service, get a lot of like,
yes.
Can I possibly
sir,
get this?
We no, don't,
no,
yeah, once they,
well, how about, don't even bother with
you're
well,
right.
how about, don't
once,
even bother.
Once they start down the no pathway, some people get on that. And it's an interesting, you should snap right back to a neutral posture.
Zero should be your default.
It's a real, in that moment, for customer service, it is a real hate your job indication. Because you're frustrated, you feel no power.
They're
and I've
no
seen, I've worked with people like that. Yes.
When you say to them, and they go, sir, I can't facilitate that. I'm not in charge. And then you go, okay, oh, but perhaps you could. No, sir, they're already saying no when you're coming with plan B. Okay.
Yeah. All right. The rope is slipping.
Let me, yes.
Can I just add one more?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I asked if they were trying to shame a stranger is because recently I was at a fair in the South Bay and people were taking these little glass shells and I wanted one. And I said, excuse me, can we take one of these? And she goes, no. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. I just saw people taking them. I just didn't know if we could take one. She goes, no, people haven't been taking them. They've been asking if they could please have one.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't know if that was the same person. And I'm an adult, and I felt like I was 2 years old.
That is very close to the excuse you person. Excuse you!
Yep.
9 years old, walking down the beach in Santa Monica, see six-pack of Coke sitting in the water, like it washed up on the beach, you know. But you gotta cut me some slack. Back in those days, lots of movies and lots of games and lots of stuff that would wash up on the beach.
Absolutely.
That was like great stuff washing up on the beach.
Sure, like, it's a dream come true.
Six-pack of Coke is washed up on the beach. It was a big deal for the Shasta Corollas over here to see a Coca-Cola, and I was like, start reaching for it. Excuse you!
Oh.
And I see the mother who's sitting up the beach on the towel. He'll put it out there to stay cold. All right. I'll tell you about Gary in a second. There may be an explanation. I don't know. I'll be interested to find out. Well, then it'll be a learning experience, Gary.
I'm always down for that.
LifeLock, man. 1 month ago, Equifax. There's a breach, man. And there's millions of people affected. And now a lot of people's information's been out there for months, 3 months, even more. Thieves can buy your info on the dark web and use it to open new accounts, commit crimes, even steal from your 401k. Now's the time to get protection, the kind of protection you can get at LifeLock. I have it. The kids have it. The wife has it. You have a Social Security number, you need LifeLock. You shop online, you need LifeLock. You just need LifeLock. It's 2017, people. They have proprietary technology, detects a wide range of identity threats, and they'll alert you. And they'll let you know if someone's trying to steal your info and it's if it's being used. And if there is a problem, the U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it, but there won't be a problem because they're the best. They're LifeLock Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right, so I gave you the bottom.
We got kindergarten, we got middle school.
Yeah, that's right. And then we got Rob in the middle, and now we're moving toward the top.
You keep trying to make this so much worse.
I know.
Sorry. We're jumping to college.
I'm just trying to keep everybody up.
I would say Gary's a healthy skeptic.
Yeah.
But I'd say Jimmy's that way, and Brian's that way. Many people I like, and some I respect are that way. And Gary's got a, you know, like you go, let's do this, and I'll go, well, let's think about that. Let's think about something else, which is all right. I put stuff up to a vote and things like that. But it may be a little now. Some of it's healthy, but you have to worry if there's a knee jerk part of it. Somebody says this, and you say that. Sort of, if I said turn right, you'd say turn left. But if I said turn left, would you say turn right? Just do that?
Be contrary.
And some of it's not knowable. But I got, and there may be a technical excuse here, but I got a new set of those Apple earbud things, the wireless ones. Very, very solid. Been using the Bejesus album. But been noticing that they don't hold a charge all that long. And then after a couple days of owning them, I thought to myself, I think it's lasting longer when I'm just listening to book on tape or something versus using it as a phone.
Makes sense.
And then my next thought was, I think it's probably burning more calories being used as a phone than it is just playing the book.
Oh, yeah. So it's a two-way.
Because it picks up sound as well, right?
Right.
Essentially talking to it.
This is my thought. I have no technical expertise, and I have no experience with this device, but Gary owns a set, turned me on to it, was nice enough to urge me to get them, and it's been a great move. So, because Gary's the in-house tech guy around here, mm-hmm. and he has a set, I said to Gary, do they last as long when you're just listening to music versus using it as a phone? I think it uses up faster using as a phone. He says, I think it's even.
Okay.
But now, Gary, you got to figure out why you said you thought it was even as a sort of knee jerk to my, you're the tech guy and you own a pair. Yeah. Why was your response, I think it's even, to my supposition that it uses up, burns more calories talking on a phone when you know more than I know technically?
I got to put a large portion of that on me, but I will say I do not use them and have not really used them save for one or two times as a phone.
Right, but you know, it's an interesting thing. I talked to Matt D'Andrea, who's very even. He's a neutral guy. Like, you want to be in this neutral position all the time. I go to the other shop all the time, and Sean's over there, and he's a metal fabricator, and he does all sorts of stuff, and I want to know, because I'm paying him a high hourly rate, what he's up to, what his plan is. And sometimes his plans are pretty elaborate and cost a lot of money. And so he'll show me, like, a door gap on a sports car, and he'll go, I was going to grind this off and then add a bead of weld to it and then shape it and then prime it. And I'll go, that sounds like a lot of work. Why don't you just take the hinge side of the door, tighten it up a little and suck the door in or put some shims behind it and even it up that way. And then instead of combat position, ready position for whatever he has next, because so many people go into, now he's going to tell me something, and I'm going to fire back. I go into neutral position. Mm. Then he says, the door, he says, I already tried that. The door's bottomed out on the screws. I can't get it any further in. And I go,
and thus,
okay, then add material. And I walk away.
Right.
I don't get in a jujitsu pose and go, I'm going to scrap. I'm going to work this out.
It's not combative. I'm glad you asked. Here's why.
The guy, Matt D'Andrea, who we all know around here, is a very soft-spoken guy. He's a smart guy, but he's not a combative guy. He's not at all. I was walking my dog. I was talking to him on the phone about cars, and I said to him today, he said, are you listening? Are you using one of those earbud things? And I said, yeah, I am. And he said, how do you like those? I said, I like them a lot. They work pretty good. And then I paused and I said, you're not a Mac guy. You don't have an iPhone and you don't have these earbuds. But what do you think? You think they last longer if you're just listening to music or if you're using them as a phone, or is it the same? And he just went, well, if you're listening, it's kind of one way. But if you're using a phone, you're asking it to do two things. So I guess it has less. I would guess it has less if you're using it as a phone. Which Gary would have thought of too, except for Gary, your default is to swat the ball back over the net, not absorb and break down. You have a quick net. I said I thought it's this. You said I think it's that. That's not your mode. That shouldn't be your mode. Your mode should be maybe you're right, or let's check it out, or you're probably right, or let me think of what makes the most sense and then do it.
Maybe you're right.
Thanks. Then I said. Because I know nothing about tech.
Could be on something.
And Gary owns these things, and Gary knows everything about tech. I still consider that Gary has to swat the shuttlecock back over the net mode, and it still didn't make sense to me. So I said, Gary, look it up. And Gary, the answer was...
If memory serves, 5 hours for music and 2 hours on the phone.
I thought it was 4 and 2, but... Either way,
it's right.
About double, and it made sense. It's one is using it one way, the other's using it coming and going, right. And it's going to burn it up twice as fast. Now, that's an advanced affliction or something, Gary. I don't know. It's definitely not Ray, and it's not Rob, but it's still a little swatted back. And since your only position in life would be to figure out more things and to get the truth, then that should be, then you should remove, and we should all remove that fireback mode and be in that center fielder, not knowing if the ball's coming in front of us or over our head or to the right, to just be in the neutral position. And when someone poses something, you don't have to dispose of what they pose. You can impose some knowledge.
Oh, I was hoping it's going to end with pose.
You can strike a pose. All right, does that make sense, Gary?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll work on that.
And not that you were insinuating anything other, but while I was thinking about, I was doing a mental makeup of Gary as well while we were talking. In my experience, Gary is, I think, the most helpful person that I know currently. So I think when I interact with him, he's constantly half in his head trying to figure out how to make something work and how to help facilitate something, which I really appreciate. So I don't know if that's the other side of this coin or not.
Gary is a helpful. No, Gary's a helpful person. There are these. Hey, look, can I say this? Mike August and James Baby Doll Dixon worked together for a million years at William Morris. Mike August is working somewhere now, and as we speak, and James Dixon is trying to figure out a way to hit more than one golf ball at a time from some place in Florida. He's at Mar-a-Lago in Florida, and he's got $40 million in the bank.
Must be nice.
He ain't smarter than Dixon, than August. Right. August has a degree. He has a law degree, and he's
a JD MBA.
He has an MBA. Okay. But he has a quality, and it's a simple one. When we were over at the other shop on Friday before we were going to take off, and we're walking in the back of the shop, I keep mats in the outside. I keep mats on the inside. He happened to walk through like a puddle from a hose or something on the blacktop or whatever, and then he just trucked his weird black muddy feet. Like, and I did the, Mike, just wipe your feet before you come in. Then he fired back with, I'm not used to wipe my feet because I'm not used to, I live in a place with a little, and I go, I get it. Just when you come in, we come out. And by the way, we've had this, we walked from this shop to the other shop while it was raining, and he walked right into the shop and he never wiped his feet, and you can just see the wet. And I'm like, Mike, wipe your feet. I'm not used to it rain. I said,
that's all good background information.
Right. Okay. This is why James Dixon has $40 million in the bank and you're working for me. Just this one little, this is this little thing that translates into many other factors of life. Please just go, won't happen again. First off, not sure why we're having this conversation at age 50, but okay. Not even sure why we're discussing the merits of foot wiping or why you're giving a backstory. At a certain point, he said, like, I don't live on a farm.
What?
He said, like, I'm not used to it. Like, it's just,
as though that's the reason you wipe your feet.
That'd be the opposite.
Just wipe your feet. Everyone wipe their feet. And certainly don't argue over wiping the feet. And don't have a default, do not be in the position that when a person floats a theory, you go, no. Yeah. Let it absorb it for a second. Think about what the theory is, and then you can render a decision. And I don't know is perfectly suitable. And I don't know, let's find out, is even better.
There's a whole Freakonomics episode about why people don't say, I don't know enough. Like when you ask a question that's unknowable and they don't know the answer to, they're like, oh, well, blah, 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 as opposed to, it's more of a childlike thing. Like, I don't know. Please tell me.
Yeah.
Like admitting you don't know.
It's not a flattering position to put yourself in, but be there. It's easier. And you never, no one ever blame you for it. All right. So we're going to talk to RJ in a second.
Dude.
Our guest is here. Mark, 56 from Baltimore. Mark?
Yep.
You taught your daughter to drive a stick with my Voltaire mode?
Yes, I did. Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Hi, Bald.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Gina.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I have a 1990 Porsche 911, and she always wanted, she's 24, and she wanted to always learn how to do a stick, and I got it on a school parking lot and Voltaire, and it worked perfectly.
Couldn't you have waited until after recess? Really dangerous, Mark.
Wow, ISIS is really stepping it up. Look at that 9/11. No more Eurovans for them.
The horrors of 9/11.
Mark, that's, look, with every, okay, back to why I'm a genius.
We almost got off that.
Thanks,
for
Mark.
A few seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
You need to distill everything down to why does this go wrong? What goes wrong? Every time you try to teach someone to drive a stick, what goes wrong? They let this clutch out. The car starts bucking. Mm-hmm. You go, give it gas, give it gas. They never give it gas. They're scared to give it gas. They start giving it a little bit of gas. The car bucks more and it stalls.
Stalls, yeah.
Stalls. And then they go start up again. And then they get it. Or now they're driving and they're starting to slow down. It starts bucking. You go, put it in second gear. You're in third gear. It's too high, too low.
I can't.
And then it stalls out again. You could solve every problem by yelling a safe word, which push the clutch in, you're at zero. The car's idling, you're coasting, whatever. Everything gets remedied by pushing in the clutch, but they panic when they let the clutch out. They never fix the problem by pushing the clutch in. It's always more gas or shift the gear, put the brake on. Once the clutch is out and the thing's bucking and you're pushing the brake on, now you're nowhere. Now you stall for sure. So the model just said to me, I said, give me your safe word. She said, Voltaire. And I said, all right. And we sat there, and did you do the same, Mark? You just sit in the parking lot without the car running, and they just put their feet on the pedals, and you go, Voltaire, and they push the clutch in, and then you just wait.
Yeah, correct.
Wait, and then you yell, Voltaire, and they push the clutch in again. You just do it like five times, Voltaire. Now, if it were me, we wouldn't have to do it five times. You just tell me once, and I would then push the clutch in, but most people never do that. They wouldn't do it. So you do it on your dry dock with the car not running. Then you start the car up. And then when it starts bucking, you just yell Voltaire, and their foot just go flying off, push it down. You'll get right out of trouble.
Probably like dog training.
Yep. Probably. Oh, she ugly? Probably. Just because I had a model doesn't mean Mark got one.
Oh, come on.
How did she learn to drive a stick, and how long did it take?
It took like 10 minutes. It was easy peasy.
And she pushed her foot in every time you yelled Voltaire.
Right. No bucking. On that 911, you can really feel the clutch like hit
right.
And get a real good sense.
Right.
So it was easy.
Oh, good. Good for you, Mark. Thank you.
I was watching Family Guy a couple nights ago, and I think Stewie or Brian the dog, they were making a phone call, and that 555 phone number came up.
Right.
And now that we have the Second Line app and you can get these phone numbers willy-nilly, I'd like to see, a movie theater with their big budgets just take a real phone number and then have, like, Seth MacFarlane have a little canned message about, thanks for calling, blah, blah, blah. What do you think about that?
I had this exact same idea on the air a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I think it's been done in promo.
Yeah, every once in a while we'll look at Clever and they have call and they get this character.
It's a good idea. Anything but 555 and anything where you have to say it. Like that, the thing where they pick up the phone and they go, oh, you can reach me at 5-5 Just say you can reach me and then cut back to the other side or whatever. We understand. Someone's giving a phone number. We get it. RJ Bell is on the line. 555 hotline. RJ?
Mr. Carolla?
Hey, RJ. So questions for you. I got a lot of questions.
I'm ready.
Kaepernick. What's going on with him? Because I got the whole lowdown from Mark Garagus the other day on him. We'll hear 40 minutes of it on Reasonable Doubt, but I have thoughts on him representing Kaepernick. But I'm curious your thoughts on Kaepernick.
I think that this is an example where the public is thinking the NFL doesn't want Kaepernick for one reason, but it's really another reason. The public is thinking, you know, left-leaning public especially, that, oh, he stood up to the man, he stood up to the powers that be, and now they're blackballing him, and he's not getting a fair shake. Look how bad this quarterback is or that quarterback. Kaepernick could be better than that for sure. Right, that's the narrative.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons, Adam, that narrative is faulty is they're remembering the Kaepernick they saw that made the Super Bowl and not the Kaepernick that we saw last year, which was not a starting-level quarterback in the NFL. Now, is he a backup? Are there actually 64 quarterbacks better than him, the first 32 and then all the second-string guys? No doubt he's amongst the best 64 quarterbacks. But here's the question. Is what's the marginal difference between him and the backup for Team X, Y, or Z, and what is going to be the negative of the attention? Not that anyone necessarily on that team has political beliefs that they object to Kaepernick so much, but rather it's going to be a media circus, and if you're only going to gain a smidge from your current backup quarterback to Kaepernick, the negative of all that distraction is so much bigger, and thus the NFL doesn't want to take that net negative.
Yeah, it's oversimplified. And by the way, you think these guys have crystal balls? Like, they took Ryan Leaf 250 draft picks before Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they don't always go, this guy's better, you should see he's better than that. It's a kind of a spurious argument to go, we'll see what he did, but you should then. But I get it. I think Garagus's whole thing is, he kind of gets, that's a tough sell. Like, this guy's the backup, and you're better than the backups. It's kind of hard to really prove. What he's banking on is that there's some smoking gun, some email from Goodell mm-hmm. to the owner saying, I forbid you from hiring this guy. Mm-hmm. In that case, we got a legal action.
Of course.
Anything short of that is going to be hard to prove.
Question for RJ. RJ, is anyone taking action on Kaepernick ever seeing the field again? Is that a bet you can take?
You know, in Nevada, those kind of bets we're not allowed doing. It usually has to be decided on the field, and that one, in a way, you could make it where it would be, as in, will he have a pass attempt or something in a given year? But online, you know, there's really no limitation with those online books, and thus, you know, you've seen various Kaepernick props for sure. And again, I'm not at all, Adam, critiquing the validity of the lawsuit or even, quite frankly, the potential value of the NFL saying, hey, we'll pay X or Y just not to have this examined so closely. But really, in the NFL, if you think about their obsession with not being distracted,
yes.
I mean, think about the guy from the Cowboys that used to play with the Carolina Panthers. I think his name was Harvey. I mean, he had, you know...
Yes.
Hardy.
Right.
Hardy, yes. And, like, I mean,
hit his girlfriend with the butt of an Uzi or something. I mean, like, kind of, I'd like to do a whole wife swap thing with the Lynette.
He could stop the run.
Yeah. Like,
but when he was good enough, perceived to be a difference maker, Cowboys signed him no problem. So it's not, if Kaepernick could make a difference, he would get signed.
I've always said this about sports. It's the number one place where people can look the other way as long as the person is doing the job. It's not. Yep. No one ever goes, this guy's, look, he's a misogynistic, homophobe, xenophobe, but he's such a great senator. We got to have him moving that legislation. We got him toting that rock of legislation.
Votes.
No, like all other CEOs and everything else, they're out the window. But
we're
if you can throw or catch, you'll find a place. Yeah, that guy.
Well, I mean, think about actors. in that when they are making tons of money and they're very, very difficult, they still get signed, no problem. But the minute they aren't making that money is the minute those people, you know, like a Sean Young, it's over.
I agree with you. I just am curious to see if Gergis finds some smoking gun, quote unquote. It'd be interesting. Aaron Rodgers, I gotta say, you say that he's the most valuable player in NFL history?
Correct.
How do you get to that calculation?
Okay.
Ooh, so, Gary said he's not.
who said no?
Gary said no. Directed at you.
It was a knee jerk. He's working it out.
Gary says no.
Well, in my humble opinion, is if you look at the line move. So, for example, there was a line
on the odds.
This week, Packer game, they were 6.5-point favorites last week. So before this weekend's games, when Rodgers got hurt this past weekend, there was a line that was looking ahead a week. They were 6.5-point favorites, and now they're 6-point underdogs. So if you just do the simple math, it's 12.5 points. There's a couple reasons not worth talking about that it's probably closer to 10 or 10.5 that Rodgers is driving. No player in NFL history has ever moved the line by 10 points or more except Rodgers. Now, it doesn't mean he's the best player of all time.
Yes, I get it. No, it's like I had to think about this, and I thought, well, what about Brady? They go 3-1 without him because they have Belichick and everyone else in play.
The year he went out
Castle,
and the first
11 wins.
Right. Yeah, exactly. First series of the game, he goes out for the year.
Right.
Castle comes in with 11 games.
So, RJ, this is why I'm more irate than ever because...
Uh-oh.
He rolls out of the pocket. First off, poor Rodgers. He rolls out of the pocket. He throws the ball. Wait, the guy who dropped the ball should be removed from the NFL and possibly North America. I've never seen a guy wider open. Like, there's certain catches where the speedy guy's out, and he covers 51 yards, and the ball's, like, over his shoulder. Like, oh, he dropped it. He dropped it. They had to change. He's looking over his right shoulder. He's running full sprint, down the field. The lights are up in the thing. Helmet's bouncing around. Yeah, he starts by looking over his right shoulder. Then he picks it up and has to look over his left, and the thing goes through his arms. Like, he dropped it. He dropped the touchdown. I was like, he did. That's a tough catch. It's still tough. It's tough when you're in a full sprint to do that. In this Rodgers play, his tight end was kind of drifting out. He was kind of doing a drag with him. He threw him, hit him right in the head, somewhere between the chest and the hands. Like, it was like equivalent to like me standing 8 feet from you and throwing the ball underhanded, dropped it. Nobody around, didn't hear footsteps. It was the biggest drop you've ever seen. And it'll always be on the footage now because it'll be part of the footage. You tell me first, we're looking at it, if there's not a droppier drop than this.
Aww.
Right.
It's
square.
Like it was a hot potato.
He fell down. Like, he just literally threw it right to him. He was wide open.
Right in the triangle.
I would be like, if I was his coach, I'd be like, what sport have you been playing? Like, are you a soccer guy? Like, cribbage?
Converted forward from the NFL.
It looked like he was batting it away from him.
It was a good volleyball set.
Yeah, exactly.
So Aaron Rodgers out for the season with a broken collarbone, but he doesn't get to complete his pass. Just like hit him right in the face. Like there's nobody around him.
Insult injury.
All right.
Well, here's
now,
what I
hold
suggest.
On. Hold on. That linebacker, all I'm hearing the commentators, and I normally agree with a lot of that wasn't a fumble, and it wasn't a fumble on the Jets, and this and the other. They're like, clean hit. He was outside the pocket. That was a clean hit. Now, the reason there wasn't a flag is because it was a clean hit. That guy who's making the league minimum, or whoever it was, I'm just doing the math on the white linebacker, Rodgers, there's a lot of plays where the quarterback's in the pocket, he releases the ball, but the guy's airborne, and they go like late hit or helmet to helmet or whatever, and I feel for the defensive guy. I'm like, come on, that guy's coming around the corner. He got caught up with the tackle. The tackle pulled him down. He couldn't see.
Momentum, yeah.
Yeah, and then he came around the corner and lunged, and he didn't see. He just missed the ball. Rodgers was rolling out. Rodgers released the ball. Rodgers started to backpedal. That guy was up on his feet. He saw clearly that he released the ball. He took 2.5 steps, and then he hit him.
Okay.
He shouldn't have hit him, but he hit him, and then he wrapped him up, and then he went
dead fish on him and landed on him. He did. I've seen that play a million times where they just push him. But he didn't push him. He wrapped him up. And then he got airborne and landed on him. That guy should get a goddamn penalty, and that guy should get a goddamn fine. You can't wrap up the league's best player. And I know you want to go, well, you're making different rules for different guys. Yes, there are different rules for different guys. That's the world we're living in. He did not need to wrap him up. He did not need to go dead fish on him. He could have pushed him, and he didn't have to make contact at all. He threw the ball. He okay. saw him throw the ball. Go ahead, do what you do.
Well, I'm going to actually put it back on you. You have the opportunity now to either, you know, go to neutral or keep going down the road you're going
right.
on. Number one, what if Aaron Rodgers had pump faked? How is he to know?
He released the
what
ball.
What if he didn't release the ball? What if he had pump faked and the play
now
went
through? Gary's laughing.
No, well, this is a perfectly reasonable question.
He pump fake usually jump up or try to do something.
No, what if instead of releasing the ball, he just pump faked and brought it back down?
He'd
and then he fell on. So the tackle.
He released the ball. I mean, you could say this on any play where they release the ball.
Right. So then the tackle, it's not a...
He released, the ball was down, going down the field.
Right,
he knew he wasn't pump faking.
By the time the ball is about out of his hand, the guy was already committed to making the tackle.
No, he took
I
think he took a, if you see the wider view, Gary will show you, he took a couple of steps.
Okay.
It wasn't like he was airborne. If he was just releasing it and he was already on it, he took a couple of steps. And he didn't need to wrap him up, because they do that all the time, where they push him, and you see the quarterbacks, you see Aaron Rodgers do it all the time. He stumbles 3 yards back, lands on his back, and then rolls
over,
does the weird roller,
yeah.
Does the running backwards out of bounds rollover move. He released it.
Then went for it.
There's one
close.
Step and then a wrap up.
He saw him release the ball. He didn't have to wrap him up and go... Dead didn't have to go dead fish on him either. He could have just knocked him back. I mean, look, it's close. He didn't. My biggest beef was with the wrap up. Usually they just hit him and
just give him a little.
They give him the shove and they go. Aaron Rodgers does it all the time. It's a shove. He goes toward the out of bounds and toward the goal line and then rolls over on his back. He went also dead on him. He got all his weight off the ground and crunched him. I know that's what they're trying to do. I get it. I don't think it's a good thing to take guys out for the season, like premier players, on 8 yard outs, like just non. Plays and he took a step and a half and he saw that he got rid of the ball. This is what the sport is.
Right.
I'm saying I'd like to eliminate this part of the sport. Yes.
And Adam, remember, this is in division, right? Minnesota is in Green Bay's division with Rodgers out now. Minnesota, clear favorite to win the division. So they're trying to put as many licks on Rodgers as they can. One last thing, if you ever want to talk about a drop, and let's say you're doing a podcast with Damachek and you got to go to the restroom, just ask him about the Jackie Smith drop, Cowboys against the Steelers in Super Bowl 13. He'll go like 8 minutes and you can... Get
smoke.
Back and forth.
Really have some time to yourself.
Well, as I like to say, Jackie Smith, poor veteran tight end who dropped that one in the Super Bowl against the Steelers, did one of the most athletic moves I've ever seen in football, which he jumped in the air. He was so disappointed. He laid on his back and then he kicked himself off the ground. And there's a 240-pound guy in full pads.
The breakdancing move.
Did a breakdancing move. He was a white guy, too. All right, let's get the picks. Let's talk about last week. And first, I'll tell you about BetDSI, 20 years plus, paying winners. A-plus rated on sportsbook review sites. I play there myself. I recommend BetDSI. Use your sports knowledge to make some extra cash, or use RJ's sports knowledge to make some extra cash. Easy to use mobile playing interface. Play, win, get paid. Odds on all things football, including live betting and the props as well. Nothing better than the in-action game betting. That is, it's opened up a new world to me. All the major sports, politics, reality TV, pretty much everything. Use the code Corolla25 for $25 free to wager with just for registering. So if you decide to deposit, you get 200% bonus match on your money. And that's it. BetDSI.com. Promo code Corolla25. Get $25 to wager. Use it on RJ's parlay, man, and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. All right, RJ, who should we use that money on?
Football.
All right, so one and one left.
Hold on, RJ.
Sorry. America, don't sweat the bet. We got Vegas Insider, RJ Bell. This is RJ's Parlay.
All right.
All right. 58% on the season, 1-1 last week, so we're winning. Let's keep it going. Game number one, San Francisco plus 6 over the Cowboys. 6-point underdog.
I told Brian that before the show.
You nailed it, buddy.
Gary said no.
This one.
No.
Brian was like, I don't think so.
No, it was Brian's first call.
I said, I guarantee RJ is going with the Niners this week. They're 5-1 against the spread. They haven't beat a soul this year. They're 0-6. They are killing Vegas. They're beating up on Vegas. They're destroying the spread. Well,
I noticed Brian was talking about missing on a 5-team parlay, 4-1, right?
I saw 5-1 on our 6-team parlay. I went 5-6.
He's getting the fever out. Look out.
You know what you call that, RJ? A loss.
No doubt. This is a team, San Francisco, that's played 5 straight games. They've lost all by a field goal or less. The public obsesses over the wins and the losses, but really, as Brian mentioned, they've been covering the spread, and we've talked about the trend. These 0-4 teams or worse, 0-5, 0-6, have a great record historically. Dallas beat up on defense, but I think there's 2 big distractions here. Ezekiel Elliott looks like he's out. That affects him on the field a little bit, not as much as people think, maybe a half a point. But the distraction of, again, this being an issue, negative for Dallas, one more distraction.
Is he beginning his suspension?
As we speak, I think it's being litigated, right?
Yeah, I think that as of now, the decision is he will not be playing. A Texas court, I think, decided earlier he cannot play today. Now, there's a chance there's going to be another appeal, but as of now, he won't be playing.
All right.
And lastly, quickly, Jerry Jones, he spoke up in support, I guess you could say, of President Trump or of standing for the anthem. And Cowboys actually since then have had a bye. So this will be the first game since Jones said anyone kneeling won't play for me. So I'm not sure anyone's going to kneel, but I know it's another distraction. San Fran plus 6.
Yeah, I see the news clips. It's the same as living on a plantation.
Wow.
I do love when they do that. Except for the millions of dollars.
Except for that.
You get your own,
the adoration.
And the luxury
and the
locker. And the ladies.
First class travel.
And the pinky ring. Yeah. Other than that, it is the same.
RJ, what do you think about the sneaky bet of the 49ers money line that went out right this week?
You know, when you've got a team who historically, and when I mean historically last 5, been losing a bunch of close games, psychologically in a tight game at the end, I think that's a negative. Mm-hmm. And if you have to win in that case with the money line, I'm not as anxious. Okay. Though obviously a better payoff. Huh?
Yeah, and also, according to Garrigus, this team is a perfect fit for Kaepernick. I know he's been there before.
This Niners team?
Yeah. He seems to think, why couldn't he go back there?
New coach, yeah.
So, for his narrative, he's actually hoping they probably tank this week.
So, Adam, win either way, right? Your attorney's right, or your expert's right?
That's right.
You're diversified.
I'm diversified. That's right. Yeah, I'm like Vegas, man. I just want the VIG. All right. What's second game, RJ?
Okay, number 2, Denver Broncos playing the Chargers. We're going with Denver plus 2. Chargers off a win. Denver off a loss, and it was an embarrassing loss. And typically, Wise Guy 101, you look for good teams that get embarrassed, and they did against the Giants, to step up the next week. But I think it goes beyond that. Chargers are favored by 2 at home. Typically, home field is 3. So we're saying, oh, this is a sign Denver's just a little bit better. But the Chargers have the worst home field advantage, the lowest impact home field advantage in the NFL.
Hold on. And Gary says you're right.
So you know you're onto something.
Yeah. He agrees with that. That is.
And if you actually, lastly, if you look at it, if you just played the road team in Chargers games, so when the Chargers are home, play against them, when they're on the road, play on them, you'd be actually 6-0 this season. So it's a sign that they're not good at home and relatively better on the road. Thus, Denver here plus 2, our second bet on the parlay.
Let me air a thought, which I will tell everyone about the Patriots and why they continue their winning ways. They played the Jets. The Jets kind of squeaked it out. Very controversial play with the tight end going for the pylon. Was the ball? Did he have the ball? All right. To me, it's a touchdown. It's right up there with the football move.
Seemed pretty open and shut to me.
Yeah, but there's the letter of the law part where they go, well, it was moving around as he went out, but it's like the ball never hit the ground. Yeah. And it's the same with the football move. Like, hey, he threw the ball. He caught the ball. He started to turn. The DB lit him up. He caught the ball. That's a football move. And he doesn't, I don't need, he was born a certain color and he caught the ball. Those are two good football moves. That's right. He caught the ball. That's a football move. I don't need to take two steps. I don't need him to snap into the Heisman pose. He caught the ball. He started to go upfield and he got lit up and the ball came out. It's a fumble. He was making a, he made a football move by putting on a uniform and catching a ball.
There you go.
Those are the football moves. This guy had the ball moving around, but he never lost control of it and he went in. And people say, oh, yeah. Well, that's the Patriots. You know the Patriots. Let me tell you what, how the Patriots win and why the Patriots win every single time. Nobody scores with 8 seconds left in the first half more than the Patriots have in the last 15 years. With Brady, that's all they do. And it's backbreaking. The other team is up. The Jets are up 14-7. They're going down to try, you know, with 38 seconds left in the first half to try to put a couple points on before they go in the locker room. We're going to head in 17-7, or maybe it'll be 21-7. Throws a pick with like 37 seconds in the half, and the Patriots march right down, score, they go into halftime, 14-14.
That's a devastating swing.
They do that to everybody all the time. Like when you're playing the Patriots and you're up 14-7 and you have the ball with 35 seconds, take a goddamn knee. I don't know how they do. I don't know. They're the only team that goes from the other team has the ball and they have a mind to score with 35 seconds to you're going into the end zone and not on a pick six. We just get the ball back. Then we go out there. Then we march on field. And with 3 seconds, we hit Gronk. And then he just keeps running to the locker room.
To the locker room. That's right.
Yes. They do that to everybody, don't they, RJ?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Adam. I think there's probably an analogy to racing, is the more that you even out the other factors, being differentiated in certain factors become more important. If everyone has the same car, then it probably becomes more, and tell me if I'm correct, about the skill of the driver.
Sure.
And I think in the NFL, there's so much parity right now that Belichick's superiority as a coach shows itself, exerts itself more than ever. And what I'd recommend for those that are interested, there's a famous book called The Education of a Coach, and David Haberstram wrote it, who's a historian, but he actually spent a bunch of time with Belichick. And if you ever wondered how different Belichick was versus a typical coach, you read this book, you won't wonder anymore. This guy is like a Mozart of football.
Well, is it on Amazon, and can people click through our website and bookmark
us
and get it there?
Yeah, they absolutely could. I just pulled it up on Amazon, and I know that Adam Carolla link is very important to support the show.
Sure. Thank you. Brian.
Speaking of which, RJ, Super Bowl rematch this weekend on Sunday night, Patriots and Falcons in New England, correct? Who do you got?
Oh, you know something? I was surprised at this line. I felt like the Pats would be a bigger favorite. Last number I saw was 3. So I'm going to lean towards the Pats because their home field is a little better than average. So right now, if they're only laying 3, it's saying that Atlanta is the better team. And I think they lost. You mentioned the coach for the 49ers, Adam. That coach actually was the offensive coordinator for Atlanta last year. They've lost him. I think that's a big loss they're not realizing. So I would lean Pats, but I won't be betting it.
All right, RJ Bell. Do we have an out for him?
We do. Here it is.
Let's play it.
RJ Bell. RJ's Parlay.
RJ Bell's Dream Preview. You can check that out on iTunes and Podcast One in the app, and leave a nice rate and review over there on iTunes, and check out his website, pregame.com. Thanks, RJ.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, let's see. What do we got out there again? Oh, Ian Bagg.
Ian Bagg.
Comedian Ian Bagg. We'll bring him in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Geico, man. Everybody's got the to-do list. And how about you add saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance with Geico? Just slide on over to your computer, fire that bad boy up. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Or maybe send a little over on your team. Put a little wager on your favorite team this year. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance at Geico. All right. We'll take a quick break. Oh, listen to a little good sports, and we'll be back right after this.
Good sports. It's time for a sports segment. It's time for
talking.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Ace, we do it on occasion here. We've done it every week since we started going here. Let's do a new one. Upon further review, just like those referees, they go under the hood. They think they know, but then they have to see the replay to review it to make sure they're correct. Let's judge some things that we once thought a certain way about and decide. Well, go ahead, Gary. What are you waving about there?
And my computer just froze, but I have an intro for that. Hold on. Okay. I'll chop this out.
No. I'd prefer you keep this. I want a record of your shame.
Fair enough.
This is an attack.
Here we go. Sorry. This is so not worth it.
And now, upon further review...
All right.
Wait, there we go. That was the fancy intro. Wow, that was... Who did that, man? How many man hours were devoted to putting that together? The mind reels. Anywho, let's talk about this. Actually, that was quick, and that's what the microwave oven was created to do, was to make cooking nice and easy for everybody. I remember when my old man came home one day, and I must have been, I don't know, 10 years old or 8 years old, and he had this giant thing, like a about the size of a 48-inch TV, old school tube thing, and he brought it in, and we marveled at it like the rest of society did, and we heated up pizzas in it for the next couple years. But lately, I've been feeling like the microwave oven is not really... I know we've talked about the timer thing. Maybe start there. Is the microwave oven as good as we thought it was when it first came out?
I never had one growing up because of my stupid mom and my stupid dad. There's a couple things I'd like. A couple thoughts. First off, I am not this person. I'm the person who... I get the In-N-Out burger that's been in the fridge overnight. I take it. I do this move where I put my fingers under the tap water of the sink and I flick it at the object. And then I put the dome, the plastic microwave dome thing over the top of it. And I put it in the microwave and I just warm it up. You know, tomatoes, lettuce, secret sauce, whatever. It'll get it to about between 75 and 82%. Of what it could be. It'll never be its former self. It's like Namath after he went to the Rams, you know. It's never going to be Broadway Joe anymore, but can we get a couple good games out of it? My wife...
Who says this show doesn't have enough sports in it?
My wife and Olga the nanny and stuff will meticulously take the burger apart, toast, you know, put it in a toaster oven.
That's my
toast
way.
Toast the thing. And I agree... It makes for a better product, but it's half a burger. I got half a minute to enjoy it, and I've just decided to lower the bar in my life where things don't need to be perfection in order for me to consume them. So the microwave is good. I would like certain rules, though. You go to the Pottery Barn, you buy a bunch of plates and a bunch of, like, I have a bunch of soup bowls where the bowl gets molten hot and the soup gets a couple degrees colder after you put it in.
Yeah.
And then someone will explain to you, yeah, it's not the right for the microwave. Like, they're never marked. You can't tell by holding them up. It's just ceramic. This bowl is unusable in a microwave because the bowl itself gets hot, but the contents don't. Then the bowl next to it, which looks almost exactly the same, works quite nicely in a microwave. So, I would like to have the microwave section or the microwave free section, like they used to do at the porn. They had three sections. You'd go into the Odyssey music store or the video store, there'd be the regular section. Then if you went through the Western doors in the back, you were in the porn section. But in that section, there was an adult male. There was a gay porn section in there. And they let you know if you wandered into international waters over there, you'd wake up pretty quick.
That must be more embarrassing for than even, like, you ever go and you realize at the Gap and you're like, oh, I'm in the lady section. Yeah, I knew that. No,
gay porn section always took a little acclimation. It was always like, God, that dude is giving it to that chick hard with the cowboy. Oh man, I can't unsee that, can I? So then I want to have the microwave, and I got to tell you, it's 2017, Shaq. Mm. How many times has this happened to you? The Chinese have it figured out. They got the nice cardboard thing. Mm-hmm. Even they like to confound you by putting the weird wire coat hanger thing in
the
top.
Yeah, but more and more they do
together.
The one that stitches into the other one, like a, you know,
fine.
Like
I got,
a buckle.
I got,
but yeah.
I got a few ideas. But the Italians, they mock you because you get your pasta primavera, you get your linguine and clam sauce, and it's also full of olive oil and butter and all the fats and everything. That's what makes it the best.
Right.
But then they give it in the perforated tinfoil thing. The thing, by the way, the cap is on, and once you remove the cap, you'll never get it back on again.
If you're only kidding yourself if you think once you've undone the ceiling the first time that you can put it back on enough so that if you tilt it maybe 10 degrees, some of that delicious sauce isn't going to spill out over onto the floor or your hand.
Yes, you're kidding yourself. Also, once it goes in the fridge, it congeals.
Yeah,
then
right.
When you dump it over the plate to put it in the microwave, now you just have the spaghetti, but none of the fat and the juice and all the good stuff. So you try to scrape it out, but they've made the thing serrated. So it's all in the nooks and the crannies, and you feel like a seagull, like a high pelican, where you're like trying to scrape it out like a playing card or something, scrape it on top. Can't they just, it's 2017, all right. Three things. One, why your dad brought home a microwave in 1979 and made the proclamation, don't put any metal in this thing. You can put whatever you want in it, but you can't put anything metallic. It'll start a fire. And now it's 2017. We still haven't invented a microwave. What a life. What
or,
a life. What
as you say, what is the microwave used for more than anything besides like a lean cuisine dinner kind of thing? It's for leftover food. The restaurants of America have not just universally decided, all right, well, we should get rid of the metal thing.
Yeah,
No one ever does. You're
going to
make me mad now. And why is it a cultural thing on the ethnicity of the food? You're right. Every Italian restaurant, why can't they get with the program and get the nice little paper ones that you get when you order Chinese food?
You know what I think it is? And I've never really drilled down on it, but you're forced me to. I think the Chinese are a little more sort of subservient, and they're a little more take the food with you, enjoy it here, enjoy it at your home. The Italians are a little passive aggressive, like, hey, paisan, you can't finish this at the table? So good luck finishing at home. Good luck.
Okay, little girl got to take his leftovers home with him. Here you go, a little package for you, sweetie, my dear.
It's unusable the way it's done. And here's another idea for you, Shaq, speaking of the Chinese, because listen, I'm an equal opportunity offender. Could we please have a separate colored cardboard container for the rice? Can I tell you how many times I've been burned by the, especially when you have kids, you have nine containers. You do that one, you pick it up, you shake it around. What is this? You open it up. Oh, it's the veggies. Oh, okay. Ooh, what's it? Ooh, sweet and sour. It's not much. A little sweet and
You're
sour.
So
then you pick
right.
this one up.
Oh,
this one's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is there, what do we do? Get two sweet and sours? What is this, pork? Brown rice.
That is, it's and you know, listen, as I say about that's 3 seconds of your life you're never getting back, and you can laugh at that, but you know what? Over the course of a lifetime, that's like 15, 20 minutes you've lost doing that game.
And if you're really dumb and there's enough containers in there, you'll go for that rice one again. Oh, damn
that's
it.
Now
I already looked at this one. Yeah.
Put
the rice in a separate, and also, here's the other thing, too. The reason you need the rice just in bright red or purple or something is right. Because that move where then they hand you the big bag and they go, okay, we got sweet and sour and we got the tempura shrimp and the pork sausage and the duck, whatever. And they hold it to you and they open it up. As if you're supposed to survey the 11 things and use your Superman-like
second
vision.
Second from the right, that's the sweet and sour.
I recognize the weight of dumplings. Yeah, you don't know what's what, and you can get the rice ratio screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you go, give me the two rice because I got a whole bunch of this or kids or whatever it is. They give you the one rice or no rice or three rice. Get it all worked out when it's in
Boy,
its red color
illuminating
box.
Stuff. And, you know, I wrote that down because a couple of days ago, the reason I thought about why does the microwave, what kind of weird business is this that the microwave, it's the power 10 thing or 100% power, but you have to make the extra move to get the full power out of it. You know what I'm talking about? You don't just hit a minute. You have to hit a minute power 10 or 100% power. Like, why? Well, yeah, assume that that's what I assume you're going to put out here. I assume you're not going half speed for
me.
Well, the
whole reason
why would I have to tell you that? Why would I have to tell you, oh, yeah, yes, go ahead. How about next time you just assume I want your full effort on this microwave?
That's why you're using the microwave. Not because you want it on simmer. You want to go full, whole hog.
What am I, I'm a chef now? Like, give me this at 62% this time, microwave. What occasion is there ever that I wouldn't want it at 100%?
You're right. We were warming over some dinty.
We figured a lot of it out, and there's still more. There's still two more episodes of Good Sports to come this week. We'll talk to you on Thursday. For now, Podcast One Sports, Good Sports out. Good
Sports. Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
we
company.
We do.
Enough to work together
I
and
think
have
so.
Three kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No,
this
that's correct.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL because,
thank
of
you.
Course, behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
Saturdays on Corolla Digital. Reasonable Doubt with Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, Reasonable Doubt. Best hour
best
on
hour,
the pod.
Best hour of the week.
I love it.
It's best hour in the pod. I agree. And best hour of the week.
You know why it's the best?
Why?
Because I get to talk to Mark Garagus.
And I get to talk to Adam Carolla. Yeah. And we cover, I mean, there is nothing we don't cover.
Every Saturday, enjoy it.
Also available at podcastone.com and the Podcast One app. Reasonable Doubt every Saturday on Corolla Digital.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Athens, Alabama. A 19-year-old man was angry at his brother and struck him in the back of the head with a baseball bat. The man was angry that he had to share food with his brother. The food was Taco Bell. Definitely not a Jew.
Welcome back in bag, stand-up comedian and podcaster. Mm. National Bag Radio, new episodes Tuesdays on iTunes. Be sure to leave a nice review for him. Check it out on iTunes. And tomorrow, 19th through the 21st at the Rumors Comedy Club in Winnipeg. Oh, I've been out to Winnipeg. Tuesday, next Thursday through Sunday, October 26th through 29th. That's at the Irvine Improv. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Winnipeg is where we discussed, I think, the Burton Cummings Theater is or something like that.
Yeah, I would probably be there. Yeah, absolutely. Burton Cummings and BTO is up there as well. So.
Yes.
Yes.
I think I played that theater in Winnipeg, Mike August. I'd be good to go there like mid-late January.
Doesn't matter when you go. I've been there in May and they de-iced the plane.
Really?
Yeah. So it just doesn't matter. It just does not matter in Winnipeg.
Give us the, where are you from in Canada?
Northern British Columbia, up near Alaska.
give us the power rankings for the province and or the town or the city. Like, I think if you, you
power
know, look,
rankings.
Well, what I'm saying is like there's some dispute, but there's no dispute, you know, Manhattan versus Bakersfield out here, or there may be
one clearly better.
Maybe Iowa versus California or something. Yeah,
Bakersfield. Well, no, she was saying Bakersfield's
no,
better.
Saying a lot
yeah.
better than Manhattan. Superior, that's the salt of the earth. Yeah.
Bankers
no, I think
best.
You know you have San Francisco, and then you know it's great. Or some people have Miami or something, but right. there's some yeah. Vancouver. Like Vancouver's the best, right?
It's the best, absolutely the best. Best weather. It's you know other Beautiful. Than housing prices, it's the best.
Well, that's where we were, right?
And then,
yeah,
yes.
Then it's Toronto.
Lovely. Yeah, then Toronto. So what I would say, my thing with Vancouver is, I would say Seth Rogen and Jean-Claude Van Damme both live here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to land somewhere in between these two guys.
Right.
So thus, it's for you.
Right.
Like you can't not, there's no one who can say, I can't handle Vancouver.
Oh, well,
it's the greatest.
It is the best. And then you leave Canada, basically, is what you go. Vancouver. If you can't live in Vancouver, I suggest you just go to America. That's right. What I suggest.
It's probably.
Even Seattle.
Is it the most expensive?
It is the most expensive, and it's the most empty housing. Does that make sense? Where they have apartment buildings that are owned by. Apartments in apartment buildings that are owned by foreigners. So you will see at night there'll be only one light on in a whole entire building.
Yeah. Maybe. Whenever there's confusion, you got to think Chinese.
Yes.
They got a ton of money. They mm-hmm. buy the stuff and then they don't live here full time, but it's an investment.
Yeah.
Would explain one of the times we were there for Kimmel's bachelor party. We've done shows there. It's beautiful. There's one time saw like a Ferrari 599 just going down the street with a hot Asian broad just blown in it. And I thought, you just don't see that much. And that must be Chinese money, Vancouver.
It's Chinese money. And it also makes me confused when people say that communism isn't any good because the Chinese are so rich. I'm just...
small percentage of them are very rich.
Which
makes it work.
But that's America as well. You know what I mean? So it seems to be working out.
They don't make a lot of Ferraris.
I was in Shanghai, and the hotel had a Ferrari dealership in the hotel. I was like, oh,
really?
This is interesting.
That'd be a cool impulse buy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get a free night.
I just went out for some almonds, came back with a Ferrari.
Imagine if they had Ferraris in the minibar, how much they'd cost. Because think of the markup on a Snickers bar. It's like $13 for a Snickers bar. It's a perfect insight to my wiring. I've literally spent $5 million on an automobile, and I could never get a candy bar from the minibar.
That doesn't make sense.
Because it's like, that's $14 for that Snickers bar, and that is a $2 item, and no way am I good enough for this.
I'm going for a walk. Anybody else need anything?
Yes. There's a canister of macadamia nuts, and that's $21. And Trader Joe's, you can get a pillowcase of the same for $7. And I can't do it.
I think it's a different type of human that can.
Is
right?
It?
It's somebody that's never actually earned their own money, I feel, that does go into that bar and go, hey, no problem.
Mm. I'll tell you, one of the greatest moves Cousin Sal did was he bust open James Baby Doll Dixon, our agent's mini bar, and started throwing everything out the window.
Can you imagine being the homeless guy outside that it's raining those things?
It's raining mini bottles of tonic Jaeger and gin
Tanqueray.
And Jaeger and Tanqueray. Yeah.
Thank you, God.
He finally heard me.
So you married with kids, right?
No kids. We got two dogs.
Oh, two dogs.
Wife. Yeah, a wife. Yep.
Kids? What's going on with kids?
I feel I travel too much, and I wouldn't be a very good father. My father was a very good father, so I feel
This is an interesting twist.
Sorry.
Can't live up to it.
Yeah.
Your dad was a very good dad.
Great father. Yeah.
What did he do that made him such a great dad?
He was there. He made sure that we did whatever we wanted to do. He made sure we punished us when we needed to be punished. And he did not accept jobs that would have made him more money, but he would have to be out of town.
But maybe he was kind of a loser in the business department, and that's his rap.
Well, I have talked to him, so I've considered that.
but
he was a mechanic. How bad of a mechanic can you be that you don't get the outdoor jobs
but
in the logging
really,
communities?
So what did he work on?
Heavy duty. He was
doing the trucks and stuff.
Yeah, he worked for the Department of Highways, and he always got offered jobs with logging companies where he'd have to go off to camp.
Oh, I see. And camp means extended period of time.
I'd say 4 weeks out, maybe 1 week home.
So you go to a logging camp, and they need the diesel mechanic because they're constantly, the trucks are going back and forth, and the tractors and everything else, and the back skip loaders and everything. And we need somebody who can turn a wrench there full time, and that meant your dad would be away.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a mistress nearby that he wanted to bang, and he couldn't bear to go 3 or 4 weeks without banging her. Did you ever think of that?
I was hoping it was my mom.
No, mistress.
Oh, it was a mistress? Yeah, I've been to our town. I don't think there's any mistresses. According to how many men there were to women, I don't think
everyone's accounted for.
Yeah, everybody. There was a couple guys that were standing out in the cold, to be honest with you. Yeah.
So this is an interesting turnabout. Your dad was such a good dad.
Yeah.
That you don't think you could live up to that?
Not with what I'm doing. I've chose what I'm doing, so I'm going to go with that. And my wife is an occupational therapy, does that, and she deals with kids all the time.
She already takes care of everybody.
So she's fine. She gets enough craziness, and then she tells me about these kids with all these messes, and I'm like, what if we had that kid? Could I deal with it?
The thing about I've found from being a dad and somewhat reluctant for the exact opposite reasons you're reluctant about being a dad, which is, I don't know if I want to pass this horrible gene along to a new generation. My parents were horrible. I've pretty much realized that kids can completely put everything in context, like almost immediately, as long as they know you're coming back,
right,
and you're bringing some money, they're pretty cool with it. Like, whether my wife leaves town or I leave town, my kids have never been close to freaked out about it as long as they know they're going to do something, not, you know, they're going to Nevada to find themselves.
Right.
And they'll tell you when they're ready to come back. Right. You know, that'll freak them out. But if they go, what day are you going? You go Friday. You go, what day are you coming back? Monday. They go, okay. Like, as long as they have their... I'm not trying to talk you into, one of my kids? I'm not trying to try to, but I'm just saying for the listeners, kids are interesting. Human beings, too. You can't say, I'm leaving and it's indefinite. Like, I'll be back when it could be tomorrow. I don't know, but it could be several years. No. Like, if you go, I'll be back Monday, but and
even,
they can hang their
but
hat
even if
on
it
that.
Is every week, like, I gotta go. I'm gonna be.
Well, that's
somebody told me it would probably be great for me to have kids because I leave every week. So that would bring them back into order, and then I would mess them up as soon as I come home for 3 days, and then they'd have to come back into order.
They understand it, and if they understand very quickly, like, daddy has to go make money, he'll be back on Monday or whatever it is, they get that pretty quick, and they're not screwed up.
We're going home to have kids.
It's the difference. I've always kind of described this. Like, the parent, the kid whose dad moved to Florida, took up with the cocktail waitress, he's living on his boat, and seen him twice in the last 11 years, does send a stuffed animal. And by the way, don't bother sending anything on Christmas, because I got to tell you, later on when you see the adult version of this chick who's pissed at her dad, this stuffed animal's actually worse than nothing.
Right. She is
my hey, brother. There's Janine. She's got a stuffed dolphin. What? Janine, why are you crying, baby? Oh, now she's biting the head off. Stay forward, Jane. Yeah. They say it every time. He wouldn't see him. And then one day in the mail, I get this stupid stuffed porpoise named Willie. He thought that spending $4 at the Target could do away with all the terror for his life. Yeah, don't send.
Willie doesn't fix things,
right,
Dad.
Right. Here's the point. You're going to go to Florida, live on a boat. Fine. Don't send anything back.
Yeah. Be a memory, not a constant reminder.
Right. Now, so you think you should just separate yourself?
Here's what I'm saying. I got sidetracked. That person is pissed, and they're pissed at their dad their entire life. And the dad never cops to it. You know, dad was like, hey, they do this one. I love this. I do love this angle. We should start using it for other things. Hey, my dad was twice as bad. Okay.
Okay, so you're welcome. Awesome.
He made me buy my own toy.
Yeah, that's good. Employers and employees should do that, too. Yeah, my last employee was horrible. You're just bad. Like, it's a weird thing, this sort of, my dad was horrible, because that just means you should have known better. No, you take, and then they won't cop to it. But anyway, that guy, that guy screws up their kit. The guy who goes off to Vietnam, gets in the F-4, gets hit by the Chinese-made Sidewinder, and is down in Mig Alley. That guy's a hero to the kid. Like, the kid's screwed up still, but they got the flag with the triangle shape.
Right.
That really huge guys can use to play that football game where you flick it. You got to be huge. I mean, you got to be big.
It's the mug.
You got to be really disrespectful and very unpatriotic, but you could play that goalpost game where you flick the thing.
Take a knee. Let's flick it.
You take two giant desks. You put them together. Yep. Then the other giant guy
holds up his
takes
fingers.
His head taken off and the thing hits him in the face. You got to take it out of the glass case, dude.
No, you kill me.
I never thought about that, but they had the triangle football.
Yeah, like football. Not good
for me. I could never play. I couldn't make the triangle, but that guy has reverence for the dad or that gal. This other person hates him. Well, so as long as they know you're coming back and your heart's in the right place.
I am a little confused. Am I supposed to be killed on one of these trips?
It helps.
Be nice if a MiG shot you down.
In the middle of a comedy
You're flying
show.
Southwest. And MiG 29 pulls up next to you.
He finally got a cruise ship gig and it was taken down by a submarine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you could go under siege style, that would be awesome.
Have you done the math, Ian? How many days of the year are you on the road?
Well, last year I did 46 weeks worth.
Weeks.
So that means leave every Wednesday or Thursday, back every Sunday. Or Monday. So
yeah, it's the schedule is Thursday, one show, Friday, two, Saturday, two, Sunday, one.
Sunday, one. And the and worst. Back. Sundays are the worst. It's just if you can ever have a letdown at the end of a week, a Sunday show is just the worst. I don't. Do you like them?
I have this thing where I'm trying to think, as I've given this some thought. That sort of I've sometimes done three shows, 300-minute shows, like no opener, no anything, like I, just being stupid. Just go and just keep show sold out. Add another show. I'm kind of at my best on the last one and my worst on the first one because I have this thing. My wiring is I'm almost okay. I'll give you an example of my wiring. I am happier when I used to have jobs that I hated,
right?
And that was all jobs because all construction jobs are horrible,
right?
I would be happier. Construction is 7 to 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
I would be much happier at like 1, 1:30, 2 o'clock on a Friday, then I was Sunday night at like 8:30.
Makes sense.
But I was like home, but I was staring down the barrel of a horrible week, and then I'd be looking at the watch, going, "I'm out of here in an hour and 45 minutes. I may never work again."
I feel like my career, my weekend ramps up, and then Sunday just falls because I don't have that extra boost you need in your career that sells out the Sunday show. So I will sell out three shows on a Saturday, and then I'll be down to 40 people on a Sunday.
Yeah, and there
and
is...
that's where I'm just like, ha, 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 ha. And then the manager can go, well, you're not selling Sunday. And I'm just like, what about Saturday?
Yeah, that was Saturday.
Yeah, that was 2 days ago. I can remember that.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's, so those still... Couple tickets at Rumors Comedy Club coming up in Winnipeg for the Sunday show.
No Sunday show.
No Sunday.
I bounced it out.
Oh, nice. Oh, so you're going Friday. Oh, no. It's the 19th.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Easy math to do. All right. Shall we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Why don't we do that?
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
I was just going to tell you really fast because I was thinking about it while you were talking about it. My dad was gone most of our childhood, half of our childhood, because he was.
Hey, everybody! Ah! she goes by Gina Grad. That's her real name. That's right. Yeah. You guys, front row, maybe I'm going to slide back a little.
Don't
hurt yourself. Unleash the fury. Hey, Jade, stay four.
Because he traveled with, doing basketball games, doing football games.
Oh,
at
right.
ESPN.
Did the sports, right.
Yeah. So we could see him on TV and that was good enough because we didn't know the difference. But my mom made sure that we were very proud of the fact that he did that. And look at your dad and look what he's doing right now. So it didn't I don't think it messed us up, but I don't know if the music's going to come back. Okay. Yeah. So Bo Bergdahl is likely headed to military prison. The one-time POW said he'll plead guilty to charges of desertion and misbehavior before the enemy.
Misbehavior is a charge?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
It's a felonious charge.
So Bergdahl abandoned, if you'll remember, I'm sure you do, Bergdahl abandoned his post in Afghanistan in 2009 and was captured by Taliban fighters. President Obama at the time arranged a deal in 2014 for his return in exchange for five enemy fighters held in Guantanamo Bay. Though those fighters weren't simply turned loose, they were turned over to Qatar. The army will hold a hearing to determine the punishment, which could include life in prison for the behavior charge.
Wow. He had to be like,
I'm not saying he's not a bad guy. I'm saying that's I'd never heard that charge before.
Well,
because you've been charged with that as a child many times.
And that was the second season of, I believe it was Serial, which, you know, is he a bad guy? What was he doing? Who knows?
Your sentence is sit in a corner.
Yeah, timeout.
With a dunce cap.
Two back-to-back timeout sentences. Yeah.
Now, how much of this is Trump versus, let's say Obama could do three terms? Yeah. Would this be going down on Obama's third term?
I think it was the
term?
Same, right? I think they're still going for putting him in jail the whole time. I think that's what it was. He was coming back, but he was going to jail.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think. Somebody's listening will tweet me tomorrow. I'm just wondering, like, if your Bergdahl is that election result, do you snap a pencil when you see that? Or do you just go, I'm on a path, and there's no path that's going to change?
I don't really think so, because this put other soldiers that went looking for him into harm's way.
No, right. That's always been out on the table, and they've always went, multiple people were killed, I think, looking for him, and that's always out there, but there's other things that have gone on where people have been dead, like Benghazi and things like that. It kind of, it's like, whose crosshairs are you in? Who can gain politically from it? Right. Who can gain politically from you from going easier or going harder? Like, I'm just saying, I don't know all the ins and outs of this case. I know there's his argument. You know, there's many arguments.
I think the Republicans didn't want to even get him back.
Well, that's my question.
They just wanted to leave him there, right?
That's a real calorie burner to trade five dudes and to go through all this just to put him in prison. I'm not sure I understand it.
Either way, it's on him. He left. Whatever he did, he did it. And I'm very much of the mind. It's my, hey, guy, I got shot simply because I jumped over a guy's fence and tried to steal his hibachi. And I'm like, well, sometimes you get the hibachi and sometimes you get shot. And don't do it next time. Like, don't. Horrible. And then people always go, does anyone deserve to get shot for a $10 hibachi? And I go, no, but don't jump over the fence. Right. Like, don't do this thing next time.
Right. But a question that had been posed was, what he went through for 2 years, the torture, the neglect, the craziness, do you call it square at that point?
I'm going to ask you a question, Gina.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Bill Cosby's youngest son, Ennis, was executed by the side of the freeway when he was 38.
Yeah.
Should we forgive Bill Cosby for all he's done?
Look, maybe.
Okay.
No, I just think this guy already in a sense has been in prison.
Oh, yeah, I get
it. So is it time
served?
It's just a question.
No, I mean, I'm not being douchey, but I'm just saying, it's like saying this guy's been on the run from the feds for 9 years and living in a rat hole in Mexico. It's like, that's not like he served time served. But I don't know what it is. I'm just curious if he snapped a pencil on election night versus Hillary Clinton.
I can't imagine there was any incentive to take the foot off the throttle for Trump. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that it would not have gotten any better under any circumstances with Trump.
I know nothing about the ins and outs. I'll ask. Wait, what did you say?
He does prefer his soldiers not captured. He has made that clear with John McCain.
Horrible soldier.
I'll ask. That's a great statement. You know, the thing about McCain, I'll tell you in a second. Remind me to ask Garrigus, Gary, next time I see him, but I don't know anything other than my gut instinct is he'd rather have Hillary Clinton at the helm than Trump at the helm. That's all I can say. I don't, maybe it's one day less time. I don't know, but I just feel like, and maybe there's zero connection. I just feel like politically, rather have her than him.
And politically, she might be able to gain some goodwill back from Benghazi, which people are not pleased about. So there could be something there.
What? So now the interesting thing about McCain, and Trump may have a point here. If you look into McCain's life, McCain crashed an airplane in a military training exercise, like in Pensacola or something, when he was training. Gary's going to have to going to have to substantiate all those things. So he crashed one plane. But if you crash a plane, there's several hundred thousand million dollars, you know, back in the day. But that's, you know, coming out right. of the taxpayer's hopper there. Boom. So he crashed a plane, and then he got on to an aircraft carrier called the Forestall. And they had one of the greatest naval disasters ever on right. the Forestall. One of the biggest fires, the biggest fire ever on a maritime fire ever. He was in his plane, A4. Everyone was gassed up and loaded up with ordnance, and they're ready to take off for Vietnam. A plane across the deck just fired a missile that like hit his plane. And started a big fire.
Oh, Jesus.
Oops.
Oh, my God.
Oops? Yeah.
There's footage of him climbing out of his plane while his plane's sitting on the deck of the Forestall on fire, and he jumps off the wing and does like a shoulder roll and runs to it, you know, for safety. All of the ordnance on all the planes are hot, and they're all filled with fuel. All the other bombs start blowing up.
Oh, my God.
The fuel's leaking everywhere. The fuel starts leaking down. What's the damage, Gary, for what?
To the ship.
To the Forestall. $72 million. All right. Say McCain's...
Adjust for inflation.
Yeah. Let's say he's responsible for half that.
plane got hit by a missile?
Yeah. That wasn't even his fault. Yeah, but his plane got hit by a missile.
You're the worst insurance company ever.
The bombs...
take half the
these old World War II bombs started...
Farmers, we've dealt with it.
Now there's fire on the deck and bombs sitting in the middle of the fire.
Horrible video.
Imagine you're a firefighter. It's like, hey, get that hose and get up that fire. Yeah, guess what? It's not a water cooler that's melting in the middle of it. It's a bomb. And now the bombs all start going off. And then when the bombs go off, all the fuel starts leaking down into lower decks of the Forestall. And that starts setting off all of the bombs and munitions down there. The thing's just blazed. But it like limps back to harbor and gets
McCain.
Fixed. And then he gets in an A4, crashes that, and goes to Hanoi right. Hilton. So, I mean, he's really cost the taxpayers quite a few ducats.
Not one airline picked him up when he came back.
Oh, man. Real yakety sack situation.
What magic. Is. Hey, Gary.
I love it.
Yeah.
What did Trump he. Make sure he crashed.
Make sure anything in that story was accurate.
Make sure he crashed in training.
I'm reading about the Forestall. All that sounds right.
How many missions did he have? If he got down on his first mission, that's going to be bad.
Half a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right. So where were we?
23rd bombing mission was when he went down.
Okay. So we got our money's worth.
20 laps.
And he crashed during training, right?
Still looking into that.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. Well, we talk a lot about highway signs and freeway signs and what they should say and what they shouldn't. I am really curious as to what your take is on this, Adam. Former KISS drummer Peter Criss has posted on his website a photo of a public service announcement spotted on a highway overpass sign in Iowa, incorporating the lyrics from the band's high-charting song Beth, which Criss wrote. The electronic sign reads, "Beth, I hear you texting, but I can't reply right now." Criss added, "Don't text and drive."
It's insane because the lion's share of the people that are texting while they're driving are probably under the age of 40.
Yeah,
not in the KISS Army.
I want to rock and roll all night, like maybe. But Beth is a deep cut.
I was going to say
for
I do a
anyone
lot of
under 40
flicking around the radio these days. Also, and Beth has not come up in also, that's quite some time. Out
isn't
here.
That kind of like texting and looking up and reading a sign that
yeah,
long?
Yeah, it's very distracting.
Oh, there used to be one on. Off of like Sunset and Gower or something up there, and it said, like, I remember Jimmy pointed out to me, we're like parked underneath it and it's 18 feet above us and it says, keep your eyes on the road. And it's like I'm sitting underneath looking staring straight up to read what the sign says. So
no,
it's
no
it's
good
a little
it should have said not up here, dummy.
What
my eyes
say?
Are down there.
What'd you figure out, Gary? Crash during a training exercise?
This suggests that he got through his training without crashing, but then crashed three different times in the first few years after he completed training. But
maybe just after training, then he crashed. Yeah. He's ruined a lot of equipment. That's all I'm saying.
That's what he's saying.
He's a hero, but that's what I'm saying. Crashed three times right after training.
He's not financially responsible.
Maybe I just thought he was in training when he crashed, but shortly thereafter.
That's what it says here, yes.
All right.
That's where you should crash rather than afterwards.
Yeah. You should crash
during
training.
Yeah. Well, I didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever wish you could take your cubicle outside or up in a tree, you might want to go work for Microsoft. They've built actual tree houses in Redmond, Washington for their campus for their employees to use. It's kind of badass. The tree houses sit 12 feet off the ground. They feature skylights, Wi-Fi, hidden wall plugs, gas fireplaces, and you get up there and...
Gas fireplaces in a tree house?
Hey, man, I'm sure they figured it out.
That is quite...
And you do your best work in this serene, lovely... outdoor environment.
That's crazy.
I love that show, that treehouse boss or whatever the guy is who builds all the tree houses.
Yes.
Treehouse master?
It looks like one of his, doesn't it?
Something like that.
I'm sure they consulted him.
It's great stuff. It's great because it's real pure woodworking. Like you have to be really skilled, the joinery and everything. It just has to be done right. But I love it.
This seems very sort of Scandinavian.
Yeah.
Cottagey.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
This is a great marketing gimmick, too, because if you're Microsoft, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to attract, you know, talent from all over the country. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get out of Silicon Valley where it's all very concentrated.
Right.
Like, you're like, come up here. We have tree houses. People are like, wow, that's fun.
Okay.
Well, but, these tech companies are going to be like big college programs that have to have the crazy training facilities and locker rooms. And let me take a tour of the stadium.
To
and here's our state-of-the-art practice facility.
Yeah. And then Google does what it does.
With the whole city. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm naive about that. Like I think like, oh, they're just so progressive and they love their employees so much, but they're
That's
trying
a
to
small part of it, yeah, but they're trying to attract, you know, worldwide talent.
I never think about the street cuz there they let me sit on a llama while I program. Yeah.
That'd be good times.
Yeah, and listen.
Negotiating tactics.
When I went to Pixar for the first time, you guys, like, you hear about this stuff, and then you see the movies and stuff like that, but you really have to go experience Pixar or one of these places, like one of these, you know, like, when I worked for Tom Johnson at the Decorative Box Factory in Gardena, it was a totally different work experience.
How did they attract you away from the competing box companies?
I guarantee Tom Johnson
just hung
his head.
I was doing tenant improvement for, I wasn't working at the box company, I was doing TI work at... for the box company. Oh. But everyone who worked there was miserable. And I'll never forget the picture of it. It was this horrible factory in Gardena, which is a dump. And there was a weird, this kind of juxtaposition thing, which is they made these Estee Lauder like gift boxes, like pink silk around them with the decorative soaps and the blah, blah, blah. And all the women who worked there were squatty Guatemalan middle-aged women who would never receive that box.
You have to spend $75 at Estee Lauder to get
Guatemalan.
Yes. Yours free with every purchase over $75. And I was like, and this is heading off at the time to the Bullocks or the Barneys of New York or something like that. And I was like, there's no way you're ever going to see this box, but you're in charge of filling it. Now your husband... it's never gotten you one of these decorative boxes, and everyone's eating off a lunch truck and sitting on a pile of drywall.
Those are the things that should have anthrax in them. You know what I mean? Like, that lady should come to that squatty Guatemalan.
Squatty Guatemalan.
And you know what they do? What you do when you receive that, and you look through, you go, nah. And it all goes in the trash.
That's right.
You know? Oh, all
and
that hard work.
Spoiled teenage stepson who's only 3 years younger than you eventually uses the box to keep his weed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, but that was not the experience I had at Pixar.
A little different?
Different.
Pixar's, first off, a couple things. I got to tour Pixar, and it was like, what are those guys doing over there? Oh, they're doing archery. Why do you guys have archery? We don't have archery. If any more than three people get together and say we'd like to learn the banjo... or archery.
No
or have
way.
Pele come over and show us how to do a header. Then they will bring somebody in.
No.
All you need is half an elevator full of employees to go, who wants to throw a pot on a potter's wheel?
You're like Jack Nicholson and one floor of the cuckoo's nest. You're like, come on.
I've never thrown a pot on a potter's wheel. Good. Let's get together.
The archery sounds more like, hey, how do you think we can take this place over?
Yeah.
We've got to learn some weapons. All right.
That's right.
We learn how to do some weapons. Okay. Next thing.
So they have that one big, huge cafeteria with all the gourmet food. Guys just playing foosball over and over again. Like big movie theaters. Oh, all the writers and animators, all their offices were like themed. So it's like you'd go, and so they had a whole like row of smallish offices, but you'd open the door and be like a nautical theme and be a, like a rainforest theme. One guy had a speakeasy in his office. So it's like he had an office.
Yeah, a secret door.
With the slate.
Yeah, like a knock. And then I went in there, like I sit down.
Absinthe.
Bottle of single malt scotch in there. Like you want a little nip off the scotch? We can sit my... It was...
So there's got to be offices where nothing gets done, right? That's... I would not be able to work there.
The more of this, the more creative juices are flowing. No,
I'd be just that, running I'd around.
Playing in like, your speakeasy.
I've always said, first off, a couple things. Then the guy who gives the tour explained that a lot of people, like I said, at a certain point, these guys have been playing foosball for like an hour and 45 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, if I worked here, if I passed those guys three times and they're still going at it, you know, I'd be like, okay, sorry. I know this is progressive. I know we're cool. I'm paying you to work. Get the hell off the foosball. I said to somebody, what's that kid? That guy's got his kid. What's that kid? Oh, his day off. He's not working. He just comes in on his day off. There are people coming in on their days off with their kids and having free lunch and milling about and picking up a bow and some rosin. Huh?
Do you want that?
I don't know. I like the edge. I like it a little edgier. You know what I mean?
Maybe a party once a month where everybody gets hammered and talks about things, but not, hey, I'm coming on my day off. It's going to be fantastic.
A little weird that people are walking around with their kids on their day off.
So if three of us get together, just to put this in perspective, and decide that we want you to teach a boxing class once a week, where are we at with
that? I would do it. I would do it, but you couldn't hire a guy to teach you acoustic guitar.
Fine.
But I would teach you the boxing
class. Deal.
Yes.
Right.
All right. Let me tell you, speaking of wealth, how about the Real Estate and Wealth Expo coming to Los Angeles for 2 days, November 4th. Through the 5th. So it's the 4th and the 5th. It's at the LA Convention Center. Tony Robbins is going to be there. He's going to conduct a 3-hour sales and peak performance training seminar. Other guests include Magic Johnson, Sylvester Stallone. I will be interviewing Sylvester Stallone while he talks about his keys to success. Had a little talk with Sonny, my boy, before I left the house. And he's pumped about meeting Sly. He asked me when I was leaving the house this morning, oh, what day is it on? I said, not a school day, Sunday. So he said, cool, I'm in. So we're going to do that. Susie Orman is going to be there, and I'll be there doing a seminar as well. And I'll tell you how to make a little dough doing podcasting. Plus, businessmen, entrepreneurs, music superstar Pitbull. I can find out what he does.
Great.
It's a who's who over there. Use the coupon code Adam when you get tickets. They're usually $149. Now just $49. Tickets good for both days. So 2 days, $49. That's $24.50 a day. That's nothing, man. Give it a call. It always sells out. 800-555. No, 800-554-7474. That's 800-554-7474. And you can check them out online, realestatewealthexpo.com. Remember, drop the code Adam, save $100. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, here's one I was hoping to get to. A woman has broken the pumpkin pie eating record.
Boom.
Just 2 weeks before Halloween, competitive eater Molly Schuyler.
Hold on, don't show her yet.
I'm sure she's slender and beautiful.
Well,
there's that one lady.
Kobayashi's had a six pack.
Joey Chestnut wasn't in shape.
He's a big, big, strong guy. You think the big person has the advantage? Not really. It's kind of a sport, and you got to be trained. So traditionally,
I would guess in shape.
All right.
Well, check out how much she ate, though.
Hold on.
Okay.
I love pumpkin pie so much.
It's quite good.
Who was telling me about ice cream on pumpkin pie? Oh, that was August.
That's not bad.
I'm saying I never done it.
It's whipped cream.
It's always going to be good, but where a pumpkin pie, ice cream on top of pie, nothing better. Nothing better.
You get in trouble with the cream pies, but yes, almost every other pie.
No, I'm not saying every pie. I have apple at the top. Oh, boysenberries. Awesome. Because it starts turning a weird color, weird purpley color, and starts bleeding and all that kind of stuff. Are you showing? No.
Do you ever do the apple with the cheese?
Gary, remember the part where I said don't show her?
I've never done it, but it's at the apple pan.
Don't show her. Okay. What with the cheese?
Apple with the
apple
cheese.
Pan, they put a piece of cheddar cheese on the top.
Yeah. I've seen it with American. It sounds weird.
It's good. Gross. Actually, it sounds weird, but it's good.
Cheddar or American?
Cheddar.
Okay.
And you got to go sharp.
I'll try it. Ooh. I'll try it. But I still, I've never done the ice cream on anything but apple or like a berry or something like that.
Yeah, work it into the pumpkin.
All right. I'll try it with the pumpkin.
It's a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cream with rhubarb. Rhubarb is good.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, pecan pie. I can see that too. Yeah.
That's very sweet.
All right. So she is, she's, Gary, show me a picture. She's fairly fit, right?
Yeah. Let's,
how many pumpkin pie pieces did she eat?
Here's what she accomplished. She set a new pumpkin pie eating world record by scarfing down 48 pieces of pumpkin pie in 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Those 48 pieces of pie weighed a staggering, and I assume this is the total, 16.8 pounds.
She looks petite, even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Molly's second pumpkin pie eating world record, by the way. She previously set the record back in 2015 when she ate 47 pieces in 10 minutes, but this time she's back for vengeance, 48 pieces.
A short 17 hours later, she set another record.
Projectile.
Well, it's a ratio thing.
Okay. Yeah.
She literally took a Duke that weighed more than 40% of her body.
Largest BM.
Yes, she's 121 pounds, and the Duke was 61. So
seems hard to believe.
Yeah, it seems hard to believe. So two records.
She likes to get her pies out all in front of the holidays.
It's amazing these people are never big, right?
Yep. Well, yeah. I guess it makes sense if they have the metabolism, a real fast one. You can polish this off.
I can't. No, wait a minute. No, I don't think. I can't think that metabolism is a.
Really?
It's not going to help you win. It might help you not be fat.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's not going to work as you. It's not going to work in 13 minutes.
The 10-minute part is just stomach.
16 pounds of something inside your body is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like two babies.
Two babies. Yeah. Well.
Maybe she's got a second. Maybe she's a cow.
Lynette had twins. They're both like 6 pounds or something.
So she's like that.
Yeah.
Over 10 months.
Like some pie.
Over 10 months.
It just took a long gestational period, not 10 minutes.
Yeah.
She would be the worst. By the way,
I know I'm a horrible dad, but the weight and the time thing, it's just like, you know, when they go six pounds, 7 ounces, born at 9:21 p.m. And it's like, it's always like, born at night, born a day, nor the healthy. Like, the reason it's weird to me, I'll tell you why. If there's a range, and that range is 5.5 pounds, was it 5.58 ounces, let's say.
Yep.
Okay, so 5 pounds,
8 ounces.
Gary, you figure out what the range is, what the normal range. Well, let's say that the normal range is 5 and change up to 7 and change. As long as your kid was in there, don't bother. I don't need to hear that there are 6 pounds, 11 ounces. And then I go, oh, my daughter was 6 pounds, 9 ounces. It doesn't mean anything.
If it's especially large or especially small, now we have
then
a story.
Let's hear about it.
If you can work out their future by the time and the weight and the length and all that, that'd be great.
I got a quarterback. Hey, what do we got, Gary?
5 pounds, 8 ounces to 8 pounds, 13 ounces.
There you go.
Well, hey, bottom end, right?
You know, I always feel sorry for someone who had a baby born without either a finger or a toe. Because everyone always says, hey, long as it has 10 fingers, 10 toes, I don't care what it is.
Yeah, a missing finger or toe is nowhere near the worst thing that happened to a baby.
Exactly.
Yep.
Unless you're a model, can't turn left.
It's true.
What else we got?
You want one more?
One more.
Okay. Well, we were talking about wood and furnishing, so I'd love to hear what you think about this. If you're shopping for home furnishings, you're going to want to hear this. A recent report has found that new furniture and furnishings burn much faster than the stuff that was built and manufactured just 30 years ago. And that means once your fire alarm goes off, you have much less time to get out of there.
Aha! Mm-hmm. Old growth versus new growth force.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. Your dad would know about this if he ever took one of those noble jobs at a camp.
But he doesn't know.
Fixing diesel, but instead he just sat around
with his mistress.
With his mistress.
Or mister.
Hanging
mister.
Around the house.
You told
raising
us the ratio.
His kids. All right. I'm going to say it's
you want the stats?
It's not old growth and new growth wood, but maybe. But here's the angle.
Oh,
all the crap's made in China.
Is it more composite?
There's that, but that doesn't necessarily burn. It's all the chemicals and China and all the chemical stuff that's added onto it.
I'm sure that's part of it. Here's the answer they're giving. So 30 plus years ago, furniture was made of wood, natural materials. That meant if a house caught fire, you had about 17 minutes from when the fire alarm went off to get out. Now it's about 3 or 4 minutes. So in a recent interview on the Today Show, a consumer safety expert explained, quote, the backing of your carpet is synthetic. Your drapes are synthetic. The couch, the pillows are synthetic. They burn hotter and faster than natural materials. Mm-hmm.
I thought they were supposed to be fire retardant. Yeah, that doesn't make sense at all.
I don't think it's making a big difference.
I think it's the difference between fire resistant and fireproof, which is sort of the difference between a watch being waterproof and water resistant, right. Which is it can take a splash in the sink, but right.
Don't submerge it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at 9/11. I-beam steel eventually melts. Like, yeah, you don't think of steel as something that would catch on fire, but eventually, if it's exposed for a long enough period of time. So this is a bad combo. We got from 17 minutes to 3 minutes, yeah. And in that same time period, we've all become morbidly obese. So everyone is, like, reaching for a grab bar. I smell smoke. Where's my grab bar? Okay, I got the grab bar. Let's go. Hoist himself. Sweetie, I've got my robe, but I can't get the dangly part, the sash.
It's
somebody.
Stuck in the lazy boy.
Where's my sash stick? Where's the sash stick?
Where's the desasher? Why is the sash back in the same place?
All right.
I love the fact that they're slower.
Everyone's slower getting out of the room.
Back in the
out
days,
of the house.
I got time.
Yeah,
all right. Wake me up in 10 minutes. We got time.
Yep. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Dude.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
You know what? Nobody falls asleep smoking anymore. Like when I used to.
Is this true?
That's a big part. Like anybody who had like friends from the 70s, you go to their house, he's like a big burnt mark on their sofa. And they're like, what happened? My dad fell asleep on it. Mom says we're lucky. We didn't, you know, it's like that burn mark on the side of whatever, or the part where how about just all the burn marks on the side of like the outdoor table that the person, they put their cigarette on it and then they go, I'm going to keep an eye on you. And then someone go, I'm going to the house to get a beer. And then the thing would just burn through to the, there used to be a lot more cigarette burns.
Casual damage.
Absolutely.
On just stuff. Yeah. Car interiors, just that weird melty spot on the car interior where the cherry blew off when someone opened the wind wing and blew onto the passenger seat. Like there was a lot of just general cigarette-related damage. Yes, Dawson?
We talked about this before. It's illegal to make cigarettes that will just burn in an ashtray all the way. They have to be kind of fire-retardant. Yeah, they will be, essentially, they're self-extinguishing.
But furniture? Mm-hmm.
You have to actually smoke a cigarette to keep it lit.
But furniture will burn.
Yep. Interesting.
It always reminds me of one of my favorite Tim Conway Jr. stories when he was super poor and had a plastic, a blow-up couch, inflatable couch in Koreatown, and fell asleep and popped his couch because he was smoking.
Better than a waterbed.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you about TrueCar. Oh, yeah, there used to be a lot of waterbed-related stuff, too.
A lot of groundings.
How come waterbeds haven't made a comeback?
Because they're the worst for your back ever.
With the technology,
and the waterbed has, first off, nobody told you before that this was it was literally impossible to have sex, coherent sex on this bed. Like,
it's be really talented.
And it's funny because the guys who got the waterbeds are like, hey, let's the ladies know I'm open for business over here, which is impossible to have sex with.
Let's the ladies know I won't be having sex with them. That's what it does.
Yeah, you'd be a piece of lawn furniture like missing a wheel is less unwieldy than an actual waterbed. Also, the thing about the waterbed is they invented a waterbed, but they didn't invent a container for the waterbed or a box for the waterbed. So here's what would happen back in the day. Somebody would get a waterbed, and then they'd use like 2x12 planks, and they'd make the box that like went in the bed, like the jello mold would like sit in,
the
know, like, yeah, the frame around it, and it would sit on the floor. And then at a certain point, they would drape the covers over the edge of the wooden thing of the box. And then you'd see the guy at the waterbed, and the move was always like, I'm going to run and like do a flop. And you'd need your shin would always bang on that thing because it looked like the softest, most cuddly thing in the world, but it had that big hard frame that went around it. And the frame was like higher than the edge of the waterbed. Yeah. So when you dove on it and your knee caught the frame, lots of waterbed related injuries, sexual and beyond.
I want a waterbed.
You still want one?
You cannot also.
They still make waterbeds?
Yeah, I think they do them now. And I think they have like separate bladders because it's also the kind of thing where if somebody moved in it.
Yeah, you'd feel, yeah.
It's like a double bounce on a trampoline.
Sure.
Right. That's exactly what it was. But then you get the hot shot that goes, oh, mine's got a heater.
Oh.
You go, how do I wear? I heat the water.
Big time.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, Gary, see if they have those anymore.
The guy was always electrocuted when it burst.
It's a great idea to mixing water, plastic wrap, and electricity.
A little coil.
Yeah. All right. Let me tell you about True Car, man. Oh, you want to save some money on a new car? You want to save some money on a used car? How about you go with True Car? Over 700 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy new or use, you get upfront pricing, you get infos, you get discounts off of the list price, you get a better buying experience. Our own Chris Max Paddock got his Prius over there. He got the 200 miles on it, so it was practically new. You see what other people pay for the car. You pay the fair price. You lock in your price. You find your certified dealer, and there's like 13,000 of them, so there's somebody near you. You get your certificate, and you go pick up your car. You don't haggle. There is no hassle. So it's a better buying experience. When you're ready to buy, whether it's new, whether it's used, you go to True Car. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you're going to find what you want at True Car. All right, Thursday, October 26th, Bakersfield, Tembler Brewing Co. That'll be us. This is a live podcast. Then Sunday, November 12th, Oxnard, Levity Live. Again, our live podcast coming there. Me and Dennis Prager, an evening with me and Dennis. That's Brooklyn, King's Theater, New York, November 29th. And you can go to Chassis and Corolla Drink, say hi to Lynette, and iTunes. Leave us a nice rating and review and say hi. National Bag Radio, 2 G's in there, is the name of the podcast. Tuesdays on iTunes. And you can also find Ian Bag. You can find him in Winnipeg. And he's going to be at Rumors Comedy Club. No Sunday show, bitches. Just Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You don't want a half-baked Ian Bag phoning it in. You want all Ian Bag, and you're getting him in all his glory on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then next Sunday through, so that's 26th through the 29th. That is a Sunday, right?
That is a Sunday.
That is a Sunday, so don't go to that. At the Irvine Improv.
It's messed up.
I tell you, he's better than most comedians are 100%. With one arm tied behind his back. All right, website ianbag.com for tickets and RJ Bell. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Ian Bag and RJ Bell and Gina Grad and Bob Bryan. Say mahalo.
Hey, I'm coming on my day off. It's going to be fantastic.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and subscribe to Take an E for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Live podcast, Bakersfield, October 26th. We'll see you there. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, man grievance, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com.